business. You already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a wall, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising 'cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds, and the banter is lively in the studio already. We have a lot of things to talk about today, and you're listening to KCNR 1460, and you can go to the chat room at KCNR1460.com. My name is Mark Kent, and I am your host once again for Sovereign Minds Radio. Today is, what is today, Sunday, April 10th? Okay, yeah, I'm losing track of time. We got eight more days of intense tax terror. Yeah, lucky filters, but no, never mind. Yeah, we've got 8 days until the tax deadline here. It's not the 15th this year, just in case anybody wanted to know. It's the 18th because there's some obscure holiday. I didn't really look it up in Washington, D.C. on that Friday, the 15th, so they extended it out to the 18th. So anyway,
I think it's Lenin's birthday.
Could be. Could be Lenin, Trotsky, Stalin, Che Guevara. Who knows? Yeah, it's Castro Day. That's it.
International Castro Day.
International Castro Day. Anyway, I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Bob Martin, our trusted producer, soundboard operator, and all-around great
telephone guy.
Telephone, there you go.
Good morning, Mark and Linda.
Good morning.
And Red.
And last but not least, Red Smith, who has been on a blended glide path with an inappropriate assumption of solvency for quite some time with a soft guarantee of improbable financial stability post-employment, with becoming a rapid descent into unfunded pit of hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although I found a Merle Haggard song, I think I'm going to change the whole thing. I'm just going to go with Stop the World and Let Me Get Off.
Are the good times over for good? Is that what you're saying? Silver Wings, what?
I think they've been over.
Yeah, I know. So, we're streaming worldwide. Again, go to the chat room, KCNR1460.com, or call in at 530-605-4567. All our shows are podcast and archived as well, and you can friend me on Facebook at Sovereign Minds. Reading Tea Party meets every Monday night at 6 p.m., and they're meeting tomorrow night with Debbie
Bacigalupi.
Thank you. I could say that five times fast. For Agenda 2030, the updated version of Agenda 21. Yeah, I guess Agenda 21 is just about here, so we need to go to Agenda 2030.
Something like that. It's like upgrading from Windows Millennium to Windows XP or whatever.
I'm not going to upgrade to Windows 10. I mean, they keep asking me. I don't want to learn nothing. Leave me alone. It's free.
Like upgrading to Windows Vista.
Exactly. Yeah. Probably not. So anyway, you've been listening to Jefferson's State of Mind, and we encourage everybody to go to the Shasta Lantern at theshastalantern.com. I guess it's .net.
Or .com or .org or .anything. It'll get you there.
Do we need to go right to our guest immediately?
Yeah, we probably should because we have him only for a short time. He's on his way to church, so.
Okay. Who is our guest?
Well, he's there. It's Joe Messina.
Joe Messina.
I believe is how you pronounce it.
Yeah, they don't even tell me these things until I walk into the studio.
And so we've got him on the line, and we're going to be talking about veterans and voting and what's going on with that. How are you this morning, Joe?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing great.
Never stops. Who are you, Joe?
Yeah, you sound like you're having a lot of fun. I should be there.
You should be.
You should be.
Is there donuts and coffee, though? That would be the
There's question. Coffee, no donuts yet this morning.
The donuts, they have a drive-thru around the corner. Right. It's like 5 minutes.
Our mascot.
It's only like half as much fun.
Yeah.
Okay. Could you tell our audience who you are, Joe, just so in case they didn't know?
My 16 listeners know who I am, but actually, I do a daily show called The Real Side with Joe Messina.
Very good.
And we deal with all kinds of issues, mostly social issues and political issues and God issues, so we have a lot of fun on my show, too.
Very good.
And,
where can they listen to you at, Joe?
If they go to therealside.com, then they can find the stations and the times and see my writings and such.
Cool. Very good. I just wanted to, we knew who you were, Joe. We just wanted, we were kind of pretending here. You know.
Yeah.
We wanted to let everyone
else
know.
Some of us do.
I don't, Well, you're talking about the VA piece, I mean the veterans piece I just wrote?
Yes, I am. I was referring to that and how they're handling it with the Republican Party and stuff with the veterans. Can you give us some?
How many bad words can you shove into a sentence at once?
Yeah.
The thing that, as far as the veterans go, I mean, we say we love them, we say we care about them, and what do we do for them? Look at all the money that we put aside. I think we pulled $500 million out of one of our military bills to give to, let's take a guess, come on, giving it to the refugees.
Yeah.
Giving it to the illegal immigrants.
Right.
We've opened up closed military bases, we've flown in medical teams to take care of the refugees. And when the immigrants were first coming over the line, over the border, we opened up a bunch of bases to help get them situated. So, what do we do with our veterans? We let them sleep behind dumpsters, mm-hmm. right? We can't get them in for
medical.
Can't get them in for their medical, their medical needs and what have you, because there's not enough facilities where they're at. But we can bus refugees, we can bus immigrants to hospitals to take care of them. Isn't that? It just doesn't sound right.
Well, something.
What side you're on?
So something's wrong. I mean, we're going to run a piece later after you're off the air here into the next segment about how they, if you register to have somebody take care of your money, you got PSD. What is it?
PTSD.
PTSD. And they come in and you get a trustee to handle your money. Oh, and then what they do is they then send your name straight to the FBI so that they can confiscate all of your weapons.
Well, yeah, they're saying that they're in, that they can't function or anything. And
it doesn't even matter what you have. If you can't manage your money, and they've already done this to 250,000 veterans. Yeah. I mean,
does that work with Hillary? I mean, that lady can't even speak anymore without somebody doing it for her.
Or get on a subway either.
Well, we're getting to the point in California, for instance. I think there's about 7 or 8 gun laws that are in front of the legislature have been proposed. I mean, right down to the point where if you have a semi-automatic pistol, you have to now use a separate tool to discard the cartridge, to pull the cartridge out, right? You can't use your finger.
Yet.
You can't just use a button. You have to use some kind of separate tool to make it happen.
Well, we got a bunch of tools in the legislature here, that's for sure.
Well, you know what it is? I think there's something in the air up there. I really do. Because some of these guys I knew or know, and some of them were very logical when they were in their hometowns, but once they get up there, it's like they lose 2/3 of their brain.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
I think it's the vaccine that they have to take before they can go in and speak in front of the assembly.
And you know what? It was funny because I was at an event yesterday where somebody was talking about in California, they used to have the supermajority, and the Republicans couldn't seem to pull that away from them. But they did it to themselves because, what was it, three senators got indicted? So by the three senators getting indicted, and they were able to get just under the supermajority again.
Yeah, and that was...
So now the Republicans are relevant again for a little bit.
Well, that was Leland Yee was one of them, and he got indicted and convicted and found guilty on gun running. Okay, here we got a guy who's up in the legislature telling everybody we got to get rid of guns, but what's he doing on the side? Oh, his weekend trips are, Syria or someplace,
Now, wait a minute. Let's give him some credit here. I mean, think about the entrepreneurship behind that. If you get rid of all the competition, you're the only guy they can go to. You can make all kinds of money, right?
You always give it the right spin, Joe, because I would have never thought of that.
Oh, God. Yeah, I know. He was pushing some of the toughest gun laws in the country. And what's his side business, right?
Haven't been able to get a
doctor. That's amazing.
Since they've locked him up.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I haven't heard any interviews. Maybe we should try to get an interview from Leland Yee. Where's he at? Lompoc or someplace?
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
No, but that's a hypocrisy all the way down the line. We've got congressmen, which is legal. Do you know in Congress, to be a congressman, you don't have to live in the area you represent? How is that representative government? Can anybody help me with that?
I'm not really sure. Is that, is that in the Constitution someplace you can live?
they just have to live in the state.
They have to live in the state.
That's it. So you know how California is. You can live in San Diego and you can represent San Francisco. I don't know how that works.
Well, we've got a lot of guys that are living in L.A. that are representing the North State now.
Yeah, for us, San Francisco is Southern California.
Exactly. They got 33 representatives down there. We got one. I mean, they are representing us, whether we like it or not.
Wow. It's just amazing. I mean, we are definitely turned upside down. I just did a piece this week that came out about how when it comes to our military, again, it seems like the last three Democrat presidents came in, and the first thing they did was they started the first thing they did was cut the military budget.
Yep.
Jimmy Carter, he left it all tore apart. He left our military in a real sad shape. And then Bill Clinton was handed a strong military, and the first thing he did was he cut $12 billion the first year, and he was on track to cut $88 billion and got rid of 500,000 soldiers within a relatively short period of time. And now Mr. Obama, who wants to get it down to below World War II levels. I mean, we're in a world of hurt, don't you think? I mean, you don't see the other side do that. You don't see the Republicans. I mean, the Republicans got a lot of problems. But
sure. When
it comes to the military, you don't see them weakening us.
Well, you got two problems. You got it on both sides. The Democrats are weakening us. I can say that fast. But they're
weak. Sunday morning, I
know.
I
need some more coffee. But while they're weakening us one way, the Republicans are weakening us another way. I'm sure I didn't say that right. Because what they're doing is they're overspending on a bunch of fat pet programs that don't have any value at all. You know, stuffing the pockets. I mean, you go back to that Donald Rumsfeld's clip, the day before 9/11, where they can't account for $2.3 trillion. You know, I mean, I guess that one just missed the media, the day after 9/11.
That's not news.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, we can't find 25% of the budget, and we've lost $2.3 trillion. But hey, who cares? We're going to get attacked by the Saudis tomorrow.
I got news for you. I look at that stuff and I say, this is our fault. I'm sorry, but it is. Vote them out. Get them out. Stop being lazy. Go to the polls. You know, make a difference. You look at an incumbency, right? Somebody who's an incumbent has got, what is it, an 82% chance of being reelected? Yeah. I mean, we've elected people behind bars. One city, they elected a dog as mayor.
And yeah, that was down in the Bay Area.
Nobody's
yeah.
paying Sinal. Attention.
Yeah, that was Sinal. They elected a Labrador Retriever to be mayor in Sinal.
Right. And somewhere in Chicago, they elected a guy that was in jail for murder. Hadn't gone to jail. I mean, hadn't gone to trial yet. But, I mean, short of standing there with the gun over the body, they had him.
And keeping
Leland Yee got over 300,000 votes.
And in keeping with tradition, it looks like we're probably going to elect somebody who's been doing international espionage and not going to get indicted by the FBI, even though it's pretty plain that she's a criminal.
Now, she said that she didn't do anything wrong. She may have had some bad judgment, but other than that, everything was fine. Now, you know, her.
They've both been in office, not just her.
Yeah, Vince Foster committing suicide out there on the bench was just bad judgment.
Oh, these people, I find this so funny. One of the ones that recently when she said, what's the book that she uses all the time? Right? Her book to guide her life is the Bible.
Whose
Bible?
Oh, go look it up. She said that. Well, that's what I said. I said, which one? Is the Satanic Bible? I mean, there's all kinds of Bibles out there.
Well, that's true.
She said that she based a lot of her politics on Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radical, and that was dedicated to Lucifer. So maybe that's the Bible she's talking about.
Oh, God, that's right. See? It's all coming together now.
It all fits.
But why? How is it that, and I know we have the, I know the Republicans have the same, I'm not what I call a goose-stepping Republican, but how is it that you, as you started to allude to, you know, you've got Hillary Clinton who talks about, they've caught her in a million lies, you talk about the email thing, she was fired from her first job for lying, you go down the whole list, and then you see her do something as simple as the subway thing. Talks about how she takes it all the time. She finds it very convenient, easy. And what is she doing? She's looking for tokens. When they give her a card, she can't slide the card. It's like for somebody who does something all the time, you're an idiot.
It's almost as good as flying into Bosnia under machine gun fire.
I did a whole hour on Hillary a couple of weeks ago. I did one whole hour on her. You can call them flip-flops if you want, but she calls it her evolution. She was evolving. And how same-sex marriage, how marriage was between a man and a woman. It was a sacred vow. It was, I mean, really just going on and on and on. And then you watch her evolve over time. And at the very end, the last clip I have of her is saying, two people who love each other should be able to get married. I'm thinking, okay. And she tells the reporter that has always been her viewpoint, and I'm thinking, when does her team hold her feet to the fire, or will they ever?
Never, never. They will never hold her feet to the fire.
Well, she gets more attacked on the fact she doesn't know how to pour a beer than any of that other stuff that actually matters.
Or order at Wendy's, right?
I'm just wondering what she's going to evolve into. Are we going to start seeing, you know, little nubs of goat horns coming out of her skull, or you know, where are we going from here? You know, I mean. Gosh darn!
Did you see the ones that came up out of that beer? Have you seen the beer thing where she pours the beer and it's all foamy?
No, yeah. I haven't seen that one yet.
The one I got from my brother said, "Look at that! That beer's got more head on it than Bill Clinton's desk did."
Oh, you need one of those. You need one of those sound clips. But boom.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just absolutely unbelievable that these guys can sit there. I mean, I was just watching clips of Obama yesterday or the day before where he's talking about ending the war in Iraq. We've ended the war in Iraq. We said we were going to end the war in Iraq. He goes on for like 3 minutes. And then at the end, after he, you know, they ask him, do you regret pulling all the troops out of Iraq? And he's like, you're talking like I'm the one that made the decision.
You know what, I always looked at him as, you know, that 17-year-old that's always blaming his parents for everything that goes on in his life, and I mean everything.
Everything.
First of all, forgive me for saying it this way, I love the fact that his hair is so gray now. It just shows you how stressed out he is. I don't think he's liking the job anymore. I really don't. The dictatorship didn't kind of work out the way he thought it was going to work out. There's still, I'm sure, plenty of things he would love to have gotten accomplished, but he couldn't. And I don't feel bad for the guy. I wish he would move along. I wish he, you know, think about something. He really truly believes that if the thought comes into his head, it's a true and right thing to do, and it doesn't matter what the experts around him say. Did you guys catch the Bret Baier piece last week out of Fox News where He interviewed all three of the previous Secretary of Defenses.
No, I missed that one.
Well, when he goes, they talk about each and every. This administration has been totally micromanaging these wars and the things that we're doing. And every one of them said he basically wouldn't take any direction from them. And I'll just come shy and say it seems like he just hated being over there and did not want to win anything, so we would pull out.
Wow. Yeah, that's got to be
think
good
about
for troop morale.
You're sending our men and women. You're sending our... If you don't care...
Don't send our men and women there. Hold on.
Are you close to your mic or what?
You like?
There you go.
No, you know what happened? It's called fat fingers. I dropped the phone and the headset came out. You couldn't do a better comedy skit.
Yeah, I have a case of those myself.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm Italian. Sometimes, like you guys, when I'm going at it with the mic, I hit the mic with my hands, and people think I'm beating up on the desk.
You know, I swear it's just crazy the whole thing, and you know, crazy. But you know, it seems like we just keep heading down this you know, like a snowball headed for hell, to quote Haggard. You know, we keep heading down this road, and it just keeps getting more and more centralized government. You know, more and more. You know, I mean, if he had got our guns, I mean, we'd be Nazi Germany, in my opinion.
Oh, I agree with you. I'm with you guys from a standpoint. I don't think we're that far away from that. If we don't take control of our government, and I don't, you know, I'm not talking about coming down the street with AK-47s. I mean, if we really don't get serious about electing the proper people in there, and I don't know who the proper people is anymore. You know, look, without getting really political with the whole presidential team, I'm looking at Ted Cruz. I don't dislike the guy. But what I've been telling people is, don't you think, first of all, we're tired of politico speak, right? We're tired of everybody saying, hey, you know, when I get in there, I'm going to repeal this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to sign a bill to do that. They don't have a clue as to what they're going to do till they get in there. And number two is, I think we're tired of the Jesus speak. Everybody gets in there, you know, I love God, I care about God, I've got Christian principles. And then when you watch what they do, you're going, maybe I'm spelling Christian incorrectly. I don't know. I'm not getting it here. And I think we're tired of that. I think that's why Trump, and I think that's why, I think if Carson, maybe he should have started taking Geritol or something like that. I think if Carson could show a little more energy, I think he'd still be in the race.
Right, I agree. I don't trust Cruz as far as I can throw him, just because. Yeah, we were starting. The more we find out about his connections with his wife at Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan, mm-hmm. and then his wife, right. You know, the Council on Foreign Relations.
The fact that his dad was a communist in Cuba.
Yeah, I haven't been able to vet that, but that's what Red is coming up with. Is that we were thinking, oh, he escaped from communism in Cuba. No, he actually escaped from Cuba, and he was a communist. So I don't know. You can't get any truth anymore. You don't know who the hell's telling you the truth, because, you know, all we get is spin, so much spin that we don't even know who to believe anymore, you know. And I got to tell you, the more that the establishment Republicans and the Democrats establishment hate Cruz, the more I like him. I don't care what he says anymore. I really don't. I mean, he's bombastic. He's egotistical. He's got a big mouth. Hey, can you think? He doesn't care what the media thinks of him. He says whatever's on his mind. I can't think of a better guy for president at this point.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Trump. I didn't.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about Trump. Yeah, I mean, can you think of a better guy that's completely non-politically correct to go in and fire everybody?
Yep. Yeah. No. You know, I love that about him. And let me tell you what I think. If Trump didn't get in this race, we would be having different conversations from
sure.
a standpoint of these guys would not have been. There's so many issues these guys would not have attacked.
They would have just ducked everything.
Bingo. They would have sidestepped it. They would have given each other a pat in the back and said, okay, we're not going to talk about this, right? We're not going to talk about that. You got him up there. Nobody's putting any money in his pocket. Isn't that great?
Yep.
I mean, just the mere fact that he doesn't have to worry about his contributions drying up. I love it. I think it's wonderful. But I got to tell you guys, I'm not so sure. I've seen businessmen. We've all seen businessmen go into positions of authority, elected positions, and they fail miserably. Because they don't understand there's certain people you just can't fire.
Right.
You know, you can't fire congressmen. You can't fire senators. It doesn't work that way. Well, I'm thinking more in terms of the Constitution.
I'm thinking more in terms of the czars. You know, I mean, let's just go in and wipe out all these unelected officials that you can fire. Yeah. You know, I mean, and I've seen, you know, he wrote a piece in the Reno Gazette basically that said, "Hey, I want to get the executive office back under control, into constitutional. You know, put the power back into the hands of the Congress. You know, get rid of all these executive orders. You know," and that was what the piece he wrote. You know, but from the media, what we hear is this guy is the culmination of all evils in the world. You know, anything that's ever happened, you know, Trump was responsible for.
Well, if you think about it, didn't they say the same thing about Reagan when he first got in? This was cowboy politics. If he gets in there, it's going to be bang, bang, shoot him up. You know, we don't need a guy like that. And look what happened under him to a big degree. And you look at, and again, I'm not a quote-unquote Reagan Republican, but I look at some of the differences between the presidencies, and I think Trump would rely on his advisors.
I agree.
Think Trump would, you know what I mean?
I agree.
He understands. It's funny, when people talk, when he built Trump Towers, it's not like he went in there with a hammer and nails, right? I mean, he had a vision, and he hired the right people to carry out the vision. I think he would do the same thing in a presidency. I wish he would name his cabinet, you know, and what few czars they get, but I wish he would name both. I think that would be a slam dunk home run for him, don't you?
Yeah, if he started naming people, that would give people a lot of perspective on what they're looking at.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It's still, you know, we're not even to June or May or June yet. You know, we got all the way to November, so who knows what's going to happen to bust this race wide open.
I still want my ballot that says none of the above, try again.
You want to do the Brewster's, the old Brewster's Millions thing.
No.
I got to tell you guys, this is one of the things I kept talking about, which I really get a kick out of. You know, at the basic level, we're always told how the Democrats are for the people, the party of diversity, the Big Ten party, all this stuff. And you look at the candidates, when they had all four, they were four old white people, okay? And I say to myself, how do you stand up there as you're doing a debate and say, we're the party for everybody. We're diverse. We have all kinds of groups. We have all kinds of people. And I'm looking, I'm going, if you're a representation of your party, I just don't understand the dictionary, apparently.
Well, you know, they do represent diverse. We've got a communist, a socialist, a fascist, and a Marxist. Well, what's the problem?
Okay.
All four, all right, four
I stand
man.
Corrected. I'm good with that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you know, I'm one of the things, the event I went to, talking about millennials yesterday and where they're at, how they see the world. Their worldview is so much different than ours when we grew up. They are now, what, two and sometimes three generations removed from people who fought, like, in World War II kind of thing. You know,
just talking
the
about
recent wars were you know, Muslim or terrorist-centered, where in World War II it was truly about, you know, getting people, oppressed people out, people into communism out, and that kind of thing. They don't understand any of it.
They don't remember communism.
They don't know what they don't know why it's bad.
Yeah, they were never involved in it.
They don't know why
like
it's
that.
Bad they, because yeah. They went to the university and they told them that Che Guevara was a philanthropist. You know what I'm saying?
Philanderer?
Yep.
Hey, philanderer, no. Philanthropist.
When you guys saw Obama with what's his name? Raul Castro, right? Oh. Didn't he look like he had just met his childhood, you know, sports hero, you know, that guy that you always look up to and you can't wait to meet him. He just looked like he was looking in the eyes of his hero.
Yeah, it really wasn't like meeting Sandy Koufax, though, or anything, you know. I mean,
Barack Obama wants to talk about
racism. But it was his hero.
Maybe he should have met Che Guevara and asked Che Guevara what he thought about black people.
Yeah, I know, huh? This whole thing, you know, bothers me that history's been twisted so much. It bothers me. I have a millennial that was working for me yesterday, and I pulled him aside. I said, I just want to pick your brain a little bit. And I asked him, I said, what's your viewpoint of socialism? What do you perceive socialism as? And he said it. He said basically, you know, it's taking care of some of the people who truly can't take care of themselves. It's making sure that everybody has a meal on the table, has medical. I said, so you think that that's what socialism is about? Is about taking care of people, you know, who fall short on the social lifeline, so to speak. And he said, yeah. I said, guys, it is. Go look it up. Go look up Venezuela. Yeah. Go look up Cuba. It is so much different than what you think it is.
Yeah, what it is,
so they don't know.
What it is that the central government sells them on that idea, and while they can confiscate everything and all the means of production and take all their income so that they control exactly what they have and don't have, and then they go, yeah, this is all for your own good.
Well, that's exactly what we were talking about on the earlier radio show, Jefferson State of Mind. The millennials are disconnected. They don't remember.
Yeah,
you know, my generation is the last generation that remembers the Cold War, remembers people being gunned down with the machine guns and the barbed wire fleeing for freedom. We remember those things. The generation that came after me, they don't have a clue.
No, and the education system isn't giving them any references except lies about what really went on.
I'll tell you what.
They don't have any place to really go. Or they do have a place, but they...
Do you know what they should have in their mind is one image of a brave Chinese kid standing in front of a tank in Tiananmen Square.
Yep, and I agree.
That's the image that they should have of socialism, is that someone is willing to sacrifice everything and get pounded and mowed over into pulp by a tank because he's found that the governing body of socialism, communism, is so abhorrent, you know, is so horrible to live under that you're willing to completely die for it.
Yeah, they don't. The new thing is with our founding fathers. I used to love to tell people. I still love to tell people. Look, think about. They knew what they were doing. First of all, when they signed that Declaration of Independence, they were signing their death warrant, and that's not a cliche. That is a true statement. They knew what that meant. If they got caught, they knew and they did. They lost property. They lost family members. I mean, they lost a lot, and they were still willing to go forward to do it. And we don't know, or the millennial generation, they really don't know that. And the schools are teaching them that our founding fathers were nothing more than, you know, slave owners who came here to start their own, you know, corporate giant because they didn't. I'm thinking, what does this all have to do with simply wanting to live free out from underneath the king? What does all that have to do with it?
Well, they were trying to flee, you know, monarchy and theocracy. That's exactly what they fled
slavery
from, was the slavery of the monarchy and the slavery of the church.
With what they had going with what was being forced on them there, you know, I keep telling people, I'm not trying to put down a particular religion, but I said, remember, Protestantism was protesting the Pope.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad about it, but that's the true statement. They were simply protesting the Pope, and the Church of England came out of that. Right? And who was the head of the Church of England? The king. I mean, I don't like that role. I like that role. And what was it, King Henry VIII? You know, I mean, what do you mean I can't get divorced? What do you mean? He made all the rules himself. Wouldn't you love to do that?
I guess the big split was when the guys that actually could read said, hey, wait a minute, it says in here that Jesus is the head of the church.
Yeah, I can see King Henry going, yeah, just rip that page off. Yeah.
Doesn't count.
I'll rewrite it later.
Well, what started the whole thing in the 30 Years' War and the Protestant Reformation was in Magdeburg, Germany, when average citizens dared to sit down and construct their own laws. And the Catholic army under Tully come in, and he just massacred everybody in the town and burned the city to the ground because they dared to form their own laws.
Those bastards.
As evil people.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. You mean the people wanted to represent themselves? Seriously?
Yeah.
I can't imagine.
And they were butchered for it.
I don't know. You know, I one of the things I do when I go to some of the churches, I speak about how, you know, because the mainstream mindset of church members is that, you know, God's in control, doesn't matter who I vote for, doesn't matter what I do, you know, this whole line of don't blame me, it's God's fault.
Right.
And I go to Old Testament, New Testament, and show them, the word specifically says, you go, you choose your leaders, you know, you choose the people in authority, And then another scripture that says that when a godly man rules or a godly person rules, then the kingdom is at peace, or the people are at peace. So I said, wait a minute, how does a godly man rule or a godly person rule if godly people aren't choosing that person? You really think heathens and communists are going to choose a godly person to rule?
Well, you know.
So you guys need to get off your butt and do something.
I think there's another scripture there that said something about when you come out of Egypt, never let yourselves be enslaved again.
Yeah. Oh, that you go. You're referring to welfare checks. You're beating on welfare people again.
I'm sorry.
What's the problem?
I know,
well,
I mean,
Old Testament enough. God even said you don't want a king, and they said we want a king.
Well,
and he said no, you really don't.
Absolutely, no, you don't want a king.
That's right. That's right.
My other favorite one is render unto Caesar's. Well, wait a minute. It said you got to read the whole thing, not just the part you like. It says Jesus sensed the Pharisees' treachery. In other words, they're trying to trick him, and when they ask him, "Do you pay the tax or not?" And he's like, well, if he says he doesn't pay the tax, he's broken the law, So he says, render unto Caesars that, well, wait a minute, we got rid of the Caesars. We don't have Caesars anymore. We are the Caesars. We're sovereign citizens. So we're supposed to render unto ourselves, not under, to some king that doesn't exist.
That has been one of the most abused scriptures by priests is render unto Caesar. And they take that and translate that into somehow become submissive to your government. Maybe Jesus was referencing render under Caesar's what is his. He was referring to the fact that his best friend stabbed him to death.
There are some churches that teach that that our founding fathers were disobedient to God by starting this country because they weren't submissive to the government in England.
Well, if you read what's on the Jefferson Memorial, something about tyrants is obedience to God. I'm trying to remember the exact quote, obeying tyrants is disobedience to God, basically, and that's what we're talking about, because if you're obeying a tyrant who is ungodly, then you're not doing what you're supposed to. You're supposed to be fighting the good fight. You're not supposed to just, go out into the Coliseum with the lions just because, you're told to.
Oh, listen, I was at a church group, and I'm talking about sufficiency. And when you rely heavily on the government for your, food and for your welfare check. And again, look, I don't want to – if you're going through a bump in life, not that you're moving into welfare, but you go through a bump in life, something happens – I think that there's some of these services are there just to help you through that short period of time, because we've gotten away from, community and neighborhoods. I remember, I don't know how old you guys are, but I remember when I was a young kid, somebody would lose their job, somebody would get hurt and be out of work for 3 or 4 weeks. In those days, you didn't get paid for that. So different families in the neighborhood would take turns going over, bringing food to that family, making sure they had what they need, and that kind of thing. You didn't have to wait for the government to show up.
Well, here's the biggest thing. Okay, we talk about charity. If people force you to give to other people at the point of a gun, that's not charity.
That's
extortion.
Right.
Okay, charity is
when only if you're an Italian with a fedora, then they call that extortion. Otherwise, it's okay.
Yeah, apparently. If you come from the IRS, it's okay.
Called that waste management.
That's right.
Well, I got the quote here from Jefferson.
I was going to say I do too.
Yeah, Jefferson. Go ahead, Linda.
I have sworn upon the altar of God external hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
Well, see, the one I'm thinking of is rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. That's on the Jefferson Memorial.
So is this one.
Yeah. That's kind of a little bit different viewpoint than, submit to all tyranny because God's in control.
Well, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Stab him.
If you really want to get, and I love some of these people that, I'm not trying to disparage people, but I look at some of these people, say it's, God's in control and everything is because of him. I see them again as that 17-year-old trying to, it's not my fault, my parents are guiding my way and I can't make any decisions on my own. But, I love getting these group together. I said, so let me see. God is in control, and everything happens because that's exactly what he wants to go down. And so he hated his chosen people so much, he made sure that Hitler got a hold of them and exterminated 6 to 7 million of these people. That's the God that's that loving God you're telling me about?
Yeah, I know. It's a complete...
And hush, silence falls across the room. because they don't think these things out at all.
No, not at all. It's like a, I had somebody say something. We got to be nice to, it's got to be pleasant when you're dealing with these officials. You got to be respectful. It doesn't matter if you differ in an opinion. And I said, okay, so if Mao Zedong is in power or Hitler, then we're not supposed to be disrespectful. We're just supposed to, you know, go along quietly and not, you know, not be.
Play patsy and.
Yeah, just be respectful. Yeah.
If Mao Zedong was in the room, it is our duty to render unto Caesars what is Caesars.
we've got Red. He's the radical bomb thrower. You know, he's making Molotov cocktails here.
No, I'm with him. All right, so you got Hitler speaking. Let's see. We'll need all the Jews. We'll need all the blacks. Yeah, you got to go out and get in that bus over there. Okay, don't worry about where it's taking you.
Yeah, let's go. That's right. Respectfully go into the ghetto. You know, we don't want to. We don't want to make up too much noise here because, you know, I mean, got to render under Hitler and things like that.
And with that, I think we need to go to a break, and then we'll continue this conversation on the other side. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
And they call me the Mouth.
And I'm Red. They call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic. Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
As working women with hectic schedules, it seems that we have less opportunity to focus on ourselves. Hi, this is Linda Bott. Between my daily radio show, stage performances, and time with my husband, Carl, I was finding it harder to set aside quality me time. That's so important to maintain mind, body, and spirit. And this is what Wellgate Sports Club represents. One of the things I love about Wellgate Sports Club is the aquatics training classes I'm taking with Kathleen Cowling. Aqua Aerobics focuses on cardiac training through the component of water resistance and buoyancy. Kathleen and Wellgate Sports Club has helped me find my new limits, and they can help you too. Call Wellgate Sports Club today at 768-1205. You can also get scheduled information online at WellgateSportsClub.com. That's Wellgate Sports Club.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here, and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Reading at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
You talk about putting the extreme in extreme sports. April 15th, 16th, and 17th, the Red Bluff Roundup is on. I mean, when you got a rodeo that's both PRCA and WPRA approved, you reward world champion points. And you pay the highest purse. And I guarantee you that brings to Red Bluff the top cowboys in America to ride the rankest stock anywhere. For 95 years, this has been one of the biggest three-day rodeos in the country. Friday night is Tri-Counties Bank and Food Max Family Night. Saturday is sponsored by Wells Fargo Bank and Yeti Coolers. And Sunday, it's St. Elizabeth Hospital in Haleakala Ranch, tough enough to wear pink day. Get your tickets now at redbluff.com. And hey, Saturday night after the rodeo, don't miss Egg Time. Brought to you by Diamond Dust. Oh yeah, the Red Bluff Roundup is on.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
It all straight on. We're coming straight on here. I mean, gosh darn. I mean,
we're going to have to save our country and our liberty.
Absolutely. So wake up, people. Get involved. Get involved. So we've got a caller, I guess.
Huh? Yes, we do. We have Matt from Reading on the line. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
Fun never stops.
We're having a great time. What can we do for you?
Well, I just wanted to respond to the comment about God a minute ago. I believe Christianity, for the most part, at least Christianity, is about freedom of choice. You know, you have to choose to walk that path. I believe that God wants you to stand up for what you believe is right, even in the face of oppression, because it's a choice. I mean, you do the right thing or you don't do the right thing. I just wanted to say as well, with a lawless government, who's really bound by the laws anymore? I mean, if the government bureaucracy can do whatever they want, impose whatever rules they want with no regards to any legitimacy, is what legitimate authority do they think they have anymore? I'll take my response off the air.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Matt.
I think that what the answer to that from my perspective is that if you believe that the only authority comes from God, then that's the authority you look to, because the authority that the U.S. government was supposed to have was the authority that came from God, which was drafted in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, that all of our rights came from God and all of our responsibilities came from God as well. And this government is not following that document anymore. What about you, Joe?
Hi, listen, I know it makes for dull radio, but I'm in agreement with you guys. And to the caller's point, you brought up the scripture earlier. We're supposed to render unto Caesar what's his, but we're supposed to render unto God what is God's, right? So we all worship the government. We worship God. And as far as the government goes, I mean, ultimately, God gave us government. Why aren't we taking care of government? See, when we say the government is lawless, let's be honest with ourselves, brutally honest. Whose fault is that? It's ours. We've let it go. You know, growing up, I grew up as a Catholic, and then, you know, as I went on, I became a Christian. And in both worlds, and they're a bit of a different world, but in both worlds, the general mindset is we don't get involved in government. We don't get involved in these kind of things because it's all, you know, it's all about God. Well, if that's true, right, then let it go and let it happen. But if they're being lawless, if they're telling you it's okay to have five wives, and oh my God, I mean, I can't imagine wanting to have five wives, but if they tell you it's okay to have five wives, and I think we're heading in that direction, that's against God's law. So that's a law you don't honor. You're not expected to honor. And I think that's where people lose it. They want to fall back on it's God's fault because he's allowing this to happen. No, we're allowing it to happen.
I think that's
vote these bums out.
I think that's the first step to take over a country is to debase the morality of the people. Because if they do not look to a higher power for their moral behavior, you know, some kind of benchmark, pedestal, if you will, of the way you should act in a civil society, then you will look to the government instead, and they will direct you in your what's moral and what's not, and you can see what has happened with them doing that today.
Well, am I incorrect in saying that our government, our laws, are to be the embodiment of God's mandates?
Correct.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know they don't want it. They keep wanting to say that that quote unquote separation of church and state that doesn't exist. They want to keep bringing that up. The thing that they just don't want to pay attention to is history. Where do they think what our laws are based on? The original laws, not all the tweaks that they've done recently, but all the original laws, what were they based on? They were based on God's law. It isn't that big of a deal, people. It isn't that hard to figure out. I mean, there was no equality. What other religions have the same kind of equality no matter what you believe? You know, we're not told to kill or behead or maim or lock up people who don't believe in the God of the Bible. I don't find that anywhere in my Bible.
That's in the other book.
And with that,
obviously the book I haven't read yet. Yeah, right.
And with that, we do have another caller on the line. We have Peter from Reading. Good morning, Peter.
Hey, good morning, you guys. Love your show of a Sunday morning. You interfere with it, something terrible. I don't get much done when you guys are on. I must admit, I really enjoy listening to your show. But look, you just read something out. I like quotes from different people, and you just read one out, Julie, about something that I copied down. But it made me remember this one here that I have that I picked up a while back. It's called My Creed, and I've got to read it to you. It's only short, and then I'd like to ask you a question. It says, I do not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be uncommon if I can. I seek opportunity, not security. I do not wish to be a kept citizen, humbled and dulled by having the state look after me. I want to take the calculated risk to build, to dream and to build, to fail and to succeed. I refuse to barter incentive for a doll. I prefer the challenges of life to the guaranteed existence, the thrill of fulfillment to the stale calm of utopia. I will not trade freedom for beneficence. I have trouble with that word, sorry. Nor my dignity for a handout. I will never cower before any master, nor bend to any threat. It is my heritage to stand erect, proud, and unafraid, to think and to act for myself, enjoy the benefit of my creations, and to face the world boldly and to say, this I have done. All this is what it means to be an American.
Boy, that's a good one, Peter.
By a Frenchman.
Wow. It's written by a Frenchman. You ruined it for me, Peter.
Good. Yeah, Dan. Listen, mate, I've got a question for you. I don't know a lot of politics involved with the Reading Tea Party. You know, I'm a proud member of the Reading Tea Party. I wear my hat everywhere I go, over in North Carolina and everywhere else I go. I get some odd looks here and there, particularly on the East Coast. But anyway, recently I hear you've changed the name to the Reading Patriots, and I feel that's like kissing ass to the politically incorrect crowd to try and get them to join us. I think we're past in America the being nice to each other stage. I consider this next election to be the most important thing that's happened since 1776, because if the bloody communists and Clinton get in there, we're absolutely finished. There's no way we'll come back. And look, as I say, I don't know whether God bless Terry. I don't know whether he's trying to make a new line of apparel and change his name. I'm joking there, Terry. But I love what you do for 51. But I'm really disappointed. I like the Tea Party slogan because, you know, I as you were just talking about America, history, I mean, history's where everything's at. And I love American history. There's nothing like American history. No one has had a civil war like the American history. No one has had a, well, there's a few countries that have had a revolution war, but nothing like the Americans. Beat the mightiest force on earth with a few, you know, farmers. And you've changed what you've changed. You've gone politically correct. And I just feel, you know, we're kissing ass to the liberals and, politically correct crowd to try and get more people around.
I don't think that's why they did it at all, Pete. That's not the case. But listen, we're going to have to go to the top of the hour break. They're going to cut us off here. We don't have a choice. And if everybody wants to stay on the line, that'll be perfect. But I think the rebranding is more about just, you know, not being politically correct, but trying to make the tent a little bigger because of so much bad press against the Tea Party by the establishment media. I think that's more what they're thinking.
I agree.
Yeah, so anyway, go ahead, and we're going to go to a break now.
Okay,
and,
thank you.
Yep, we're at the top of the hour, so please stay with us if you can, Joe, and meet us on the other side.
I got to get rolling, guys.
Oh, okay. Well thank you so much for being on. We'll have to have you back and continue this discussion.
Oh, yeah.
All right, thanks,
Joe.
All right. Have a great day.
This has been KCNR 1460, bye-bye. Community Radio for the North State.
Pending investigations. Mr. Obama says Clinton has recognized that there was some, quote, carelessness in the handling of the emails, but he continues to believe she did not jeopardize national security by using a private email server while Secretary of State. The Muslim terror attack on Brussels was supposed to have taken place in Paris. That's the conclusion of Belgian officials who say investigators of the first Paris attack prompted the Brussels bombers to change their plans.
Prosecutors have said that they've discovered this information after close questioning of the suspects they have in custody and what they call the elements of the investigation. So this can be forensic clues, it can be emails, it can be messages, it could be anything.
Correspondent Raphael Satter in Paris. Bernie Sanders, the winner of the Wyoming caucuses, but he splits the state's delegates evenly with Hillary Clinton. President Obama, meanwhile, is remaining on the sidelines during the 2016 campaign so far.
The president has been headlining Democratic Party fundraisers this year, but his plans to stump for his party's presumptive presidential nominee are on hold as Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders compete for the nomination. Mr. Obama has become more vocal in his criticism of Republican Donald Trump. However, he'll have to wait a while longer before he gives a full-throated defense of the Democrat he hopes will succeed him. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Authorities in southern India have raised the death toll to more than 100 from a massive fire sparked by an explosion at a Hindu temple. 400 people hurt. More on these stories at townhall.com.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors not available in all states.
Israel's prime minister says there has been a significant drop in the rate of Palestinian attacks against Israelis. Benjamin Netanyahu says today that he's citing the figures of Israel's Shin Bet Security Service carefully because, quote, this trend could be reversed. But there have been no casualties over the past 2.5 weeks, the slowest stretch in a 7-month wave of stabbings, shootings, and vehicular attacks that's taken the lives of 28 Israelis and 2 Americans. During this time, about 187 Palestinian attackers have been killed. Iran's foreign minister says the country's missile program is not up for negotiation with the U.S. He says the defensive capabilities of the Islamic Republic of Iran are not negotiable. The word comes from Secretary of State John Kerry that the U.S. would like to talk about troubling missile tests by Iran. But Iran says the missiles are purely defensive. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Financial impropriety south of the border. 33 Mexicans are facing jail time in the Panama Papers offshore scandal.
The warning comes from the president of the Mexican Institute of Public Accountants, Leticia Herbert. She explains non-payment of taxes can be punished by a fine almost equivalent to the sum outstanding, but if the origin of the money can't be explained, jail time of 3 months up to 9 years can result. Mexico's Tax Administration Service, better known as SAT, is investigating. Those on the mat who deny wrongdoing include Ricardo Salinas Pliego, the chairman of TV Azteca, and Alfonso de Angotia, the chief financial officer of television giants Televisa. James Blair is in Mexico.
Today is Sunday, April 10th, and a birthday for some notable people. Actor Max von Sydow is 87 years old today. Sportscaster John Madden turns 80. Olympic gold medal speed skater Kathy Turner is 54. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. That includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a better-known business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew. The Reading chapter of Safari Club International is hosting their 22nd annual banquet April 30th at the Wind River Event Center. Safari Club International is a leader in protecting your freedom to hunt and promoting wildlife conservation worldwide. Live auction and raffles will include African game safaris, elk, deer and wild boar hunts, and much more. The 22nd annual Reading chapter of Safari Club International promises to be a signature event. For tickets and more information, call Larry McLeod at 530-474-5075. That's 530-474-5075.
While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since 2003. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic.
One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight. Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good afternoon, Sovereign Minds.
Still morning.
Well, it feels like
it. Obviously, we don't have our house in order.
Never mind.
Some people's houses isn't in
well,
order.
Well, it is. I was speaking to the people in Missouri and Atlanta, Georgia, and
Florida. Yeah, that was it. Okay.
Is that okay?
Got a little mixed up. Okay.
Sorry. It's afternoon somewhere.
It is afternoon somewhere. Never mind. We have a caller on the line.
We do. We have Mr. Rose. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, but you guys scared the devil out of me. All of a sudden, you guys are really going at it, and then all of a sudden, nothing. The radio went dead. I said, oh, my God, they said something, and the FCC shut them down.
No, not yet. We're still here. They can't get rid of us that easy.
and a little humor. If you understand what the gentleman said about changing from the Tea Party to the Patriots, you know, the Patriots were known way back in the beginning. That's what they were called when we fought against the British, and they even made a movie called The Patriots. But on the humor side, I'm a Steeler fan, not a Patriot fan. God bless you guys.
All right, thanks for calling in.
Keep the fight.
I appreciate that, Mr. Rose, because as an Oakland Raiders fan, I still go back to the Tuck Rule, and that was a fumble Raiders Super Bowl.
Now, do me a favor.
Dave Casper.
Do me a favor, and please stay on the air, huh? No cursing or anything.
We'll do what we can.
Well, we can't guarantee that, but we'll stay on the air.
That's what we have the dump button
That's
for.
Right. That's why Bob's over there. He's like in the lightning round at Family Feud. You know, he just hits that button like...
Don't make his promise too much. Mark will have me with a radio on my back hiding under a tree somewhere doing guerrilla radio.
All right. Thanks a lot, Mr. Rose. You have a great day.
Oh, boy. Well, anyway... On another subject, I have a little note here that Marlin Firearms is closing its doors.
Yep.
And this is another sign of our booming economy, you know, getting better, and that we're getting out of the, we're in the recovery stage.
Yeah,
getting,
less
you know,
laws.
Getting out of the crisis.
We have less laws and
you're
more people.
You're doing everything's better, you know. So I'm just letting everybody know, and just, you know, as a side note, I mean, who bought Marlin Firearms is a group called the Freedom Group, and that happens to be a company owned by Cyberus Capital Management. And yeah, I know, you'll just never guess who owns or controls Cyberus. George Soros. Yeah, just in case you wanted to know. And, of course, he wants to restrict and ban all civilian guns and so forth. And he also owns Progressive Insurance, too. And Flo is a communist, by the way. So, anyway.
The Freedom Group?
Yeah, the Freedom Group. Don't you love the way they do this? It's like the government agencies or the government acts. You know, it's the Internal Revenue Service Act or the Social Security. You know, everything that they say it is, it's exactly the opposite. It should be the Social Security Insecurity Act, you know, Social Insecurity Act, you know.
The Extra Tax Act.
Or the Balance the Budget Act, you know. It's the Unbalanced Budget Act, you know. I mean, that's really what they do. They just lie through their teeth to make it sound good to the people, make it palatable.
How Orwellian.
Yeah, it's Orwellian speak.
That so disturbs me, though. Soros has ended up with Marlin. Marlin has been around forever. I mean, I know so many people that started with a Marlin 22 for their first gun. I, you know, myself was an old Marlin Pump 22.
Well, you know, I had a Marlin 30-30.
It just makes me sick to think that somebody like that's behind buying a company like Marlin. Wow.
Well, you know, let's play. Can you key up the veterans' rights on their gun rights clip there, Bob? You know, that I sent you over there, and let's play that. It kind of feathers into the Marlin thing and what we were talking about with Joe, as far as gun rights and so forth. And
yeah, and for all of the veterans running around California, all ecstatic because you can put veteran on your license now, and you know, just show your ID and get benefits. You really think that one through there, guys?
Oh, and our esteemed congressman has just been doing stellar work at the veterans. He's done a lot of work. That's why I keep coming across. He's done a lot of you know, action has happened, but has anything really been accomplished?
Yeah, and also, you know, they have assessments that you have to fill out when you go to the doctor. I got one the other day that asked you if you have guns in the house or whatever.
Well,
and they didn't like it when I wouldn't answer the question. Then when I asked for a copy of the assessment, they didn't want to give it to me.
Just got to write under there, do you have guns in your house?
You know, but yeah, they didn't want to get. And then they asked me, how old are you so you can get it? It's like, what difference does it matter how old I am to get the copy of what you guys are trying to pull off onto people?
You know, do you have any ballistic ordnance in your house?
I felt like asking them a lot more. But
I got a slingshot.
I don't have nothing.
Are claymores permitted?
No.
No. Are your claymores permitted? No. Go ahead and play it, Bob.
There's a ton of news stories these days about how crappy our government takes care of our veterans. It's a complete travesty. This story is about one more way that our country shafts our vets, and it might be the most ironic one yet. First, we arm our military members to the teeth, right, with incredibly sophisticated weaponry. We give them insane killing machines to go wreak havoc around the world. And then when they get back, guess what? Not only does the government take away that sophisticated weaponry, they also take away our veterans' rights to bear any arms at all. Yep. In the past 3 months alone, the Veterans Affairs Department has taken away the right to bear arms from over 250,000 of our veterans. Those same people that our government talked into serving and trained to be killers with the most deadly of weapons are not allowed to have guns when they come home. More than 250,000 vets in just the past 3 months alone have had their Second Amendment right taken away. The issue came to light after Senator Chuck Grassley and Senate Veterans Affairs Committee Chairman Senator Johnny Isaacson penned a letter to VA Secretary Robert McDonald. And in the letter, they called BS on the VA for using the fiduciary trust status of veterans to regulate firearms without consideration of any other circumstances. This is what happens. When vets come home from the trauma of war, often they have trouble reassimilating back into society. Often they get assigned a fiduciary trustee to help them manage their money and property. The VA set up a fiduciary program, supposedly to protect veterans, their words on their website. But the thing is, once a vet has a fiduciary trustee assigned to them, the VA automatically reports them to the FBI. Through the NICS, the Federal Firearms Licensing Database, automatically declaring them mentally defective and thus stripping them of the right to bear arms. In other words, if you can't manage your money, you can't manage a gun. That's the rationale, apparently. And it is automatic. There is no mental evaluation, just sorry, no more guns for you. That's part of how the VA protects its vets. Yep, the same people our government arms with the most insane weaponry around the planet are the same people our government doesn't allow to have guns back home. Just another crappy way we take care of our vets, right? No matter how you feel about guns in general, there is no denying the irony in this story. Tonight, let's talk about that.
All right.
There's another pregnant pause.
Brought to you by the Reading Public Library.
There you go.
Yeah, and with that revelation that they're doing everything they can to strip veterans of their rights to arms, and people like Dianne Feinstein running around and saying, oh, well, we have to keep the arms out of the hands of the mentally disabled or the mentally disturbed, and every veteran suffers from some form of PTSD, therefore is mentally disturbed, I'd be super, uber excited and just ecstatic like a little kid to know that the state of California is now labeling me veteran right on my ID. Why don't you just slap Uden on there?
Yeah, then you can put Unique on the back of your license there.
Yeah.
Unique. I mean, not Unique, Unique.
Yeah, but now I can get my veterans benefits right with my license. Yeah, because they're not screwing you on your veterans benefits already. They did that to help you.
Yeah, it's all for your own good. You do understand.
Yeah.
So they can track you down even faster.
Yep.
Yeah, I keep going
like
back to that.
Like a traffic stop.
Going back to that Kitty Weatherman interview when I asked her, you know, at what point in time did you realize that they were lying to you? At what point, you know.
When it was too late.
It was when the bombs were hitting Berlin that you weren't winning the war? No, she said that it was when they got our guns. Everything changed immediately. When we were disarmed and helpless and could not fight back, all of a sudden, the tone changed immediately. And that's what we're looking about here. I mean.
Well, like I was saying about that assessment, I guarantee you what they're going to start doing is either you give up your gun. If you answer that question and tell them that you have a weapon in your home, either you give up your gun or you don't get medical treatment.
Well, you do know that if you receive any form of medical benefits, Medi-Cal, Medicare, anything like that, that opens you up to a welfare check at any time at your home. That the government has a vested interest in you and can show up unannounced without a warrant to enter your home to do a welfare check on you because they have the vested interest in your health.
Yeah. Well, that's scary, folks. You got to really think about this, what's going on.
They'd never do that.
Well, like Mark was saying, it could happen like overnight, and then where are we going to be if people, you know.
Well, and here's the guys that we're dealing with. In an unrelated story, the White House warns of deaths from extreme heat as Weather Service issues April snow advisories. And so that's who we're dealing with up there, is unstable people who don't have a clue, except that they want to have more power. And then on the same token, we have from Yahoo News, climate forecasts may be flawed, says study.
No.
They wouldn't do a thing like that, not at all.
Yeah, you know, this goes on to say the predictions and, unprecedented rainfall extremes in the 20th century, driven by global warming, turns out wrong. A study said Wednesday.
I thought it was drought because of global warming.
I don't know whether it's drought or rainfall or climate change. What does that mean, that it gets colder, warmer, or extremes, there's more water? You know, I mean, I don't believe any of this crap, you know. Was it
Al Gore said, you know, way back when he started this, that there was...
I didn't touch that maid.
Yeah. But there was something like 130,000 glaciers on Earth, and today there's still 130,000 glaciers. I mean, you know.
You don't remember that crazy one, Al Gore got tagged up there in Portland for going after that maid at the hotel?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. I just heard somewhere that he was a made man, and that's all I knew.
Oh, he just wanted to be Bill for a while.
I never had sex with that woman.
I know nothing. Nothing.
I was just waiting for the bad cigar joke.
Cigarette, Tiparillo.
Wonder if that was a Cuban.
No, stop it. Make him stop. Oh, boy. I don't know. Maybe we should go to a break here. And, you know, that was just almost too much to handle. I mean, let's go to a break.
Okay. If you want to call in and have a question or a comment or something you would like to discuss, give us a call at 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
I grew up dreaming of being a cowboy and loving the cowboy ways, pursuing the life of my high-riding heroes. I burned up my childhood days. Learned all the rules of a modern day drifter. Don't you hold on to nothing too long. Just take what you need from the ladies that leave them with the words of a sad country song. My heroes have always been cowboys. Still are unseen, sadly in search of one step and back of themselves and their slow moving dreams.
While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning, they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since 2003. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
You know, Powerhouse Solar has been a local family-owned business since 2003, and solar is all they do.
Solar, electric, battery backup, hybrid systems, and pool solar so you can swim more months of the year.
Solar energy saves you money every month, and they have financing options available. Just give them a call for a free estimate. It's 275-5600, or visit their website at powerhousesolar.com.
They sell the best quality solar products from SunPower. SunPower has the highest efficiency panel in the world with the best warranty in the industry, 25 years bumper to bumper.
Powerhouse Solar offers a lifetime warranty for workmanship and installation to the original owner at the original location. So check out Solar, may be able to reduce your electricity costs and help save the environment.
Give them a call, 275-5600. Like SunPower, Powerhouse Solar has an A-plus Better Business Bureau rating.
Check out their third-party customer reviews at powerhousesolar.com, then call 275-5600 for Powerhouse Solar, a SunPower premier dealer.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
I wish a buck was still silver. It was back when the country was strong. Back before Elvis and before the Vietnam War came along. Before the Beatles and yesterday, when a man could still work, still would. The best of the free life behind us now, and are the good times really over for good? And are we rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell? With no kind of chance for the flag or the liberty bell. Wish a Ford and a Chevy would still last 10 years like they should. It's the best of the free life behind us now. Are the good times really over for good? I wish Coke was still cola and a joint. Bad place to be. And it was back before Nixon lied to us all on TV. Before microwave ovens, when a girl could still cook, still would. Best of the free life behind us now. Are the good times really over for good?
Sing it, Merle.
I've been rolling down the hill like a snowball.
Yeah, that's our little tribute to Mr. Haggard. He passed away this last week. And I'll tell you, that song pretty much kind of says where we're at a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, I was going through Merle's, lineup there this morning, and I was thinking, God, I got to play this one. I looked at Silver Wings and Mama Tried and just thought, gosh, this is the one. I got to play it, regardless of how sad it sounds, but, it kind of says it. So, anyway.
Well, very prescient. I mean, and he released that shortly after Ronald Reagan took office.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah, that's 30 years ago or whatever, 40 years ago.
Wow, that's scary.
It was pretty much a summation of what had happened to the country in the 70s.
Right.
And
that's just gotten worse. Jeez. We've got so much that we got to go over still, and I'm not sure if Terry's calling in or not. He should. But let's listen to this stuff on civil asset forfeiture, and let's kind of start moving at a little faster clip here, because I'm not sure, we'll get through everything yet. Nope, not Merle.
Yeah.
I think we got it together. We got our coffee.
We're getting there.
We got a full tank of gas.
Well, that was too much information. Too much information.
We got our sunglasses on. Let's do it.
Go ahead, Bob.
The Department of Justice will restart one of its most controversial programs after suspending it just last year due to a budget cut. The Asset Forfeiture Program lets police officers seize cash and property related to a crime. Police can then keep those assets even if the suspect is never convicted of a crime. The Department of Justice claims the program helps destroy criminal organizations, although studies have risen the real concern about all of this, and asking the question, are police motivated more by profit and less by justice? For more, let's turn to Mike Papantonio, America's lawyer and Ring of Fire radio host. Mike, good to have you with us tonight. This was suspended, and now it's being brought back. Is it about the money or is it about the program? Your thoughts tonight.
Well, police departments have become new gangsters in American society. In 2014, police departments seized more than $5 billion in civil assets. That's more than the value of all the burglaries that took place that year. So to answer your question, police officers are stealing more from citizens than criminals are. The new rules from the DOJ are going to make the problem even worse because local police departments are going to get a massive cut of whatever they can confiscate. It's all about keeping money. And here's what everybody needs to understand. There doesn't have to be a conviction for them to keep your money. It can take place because of suspicion or probable cause. So if they suspect that you're smoking marijuana, they can take your car, they can take your house, even though you're never charged. It's all about money, Ed.
And it's all about meeting enforcement budgets at this point, you think? And so innocent people can get hung up in this, correct?
Well, they go out and they buy new toys with this money. And yes, a lot of innocent people get hung up in this. As a matter of fact, there's a story that happened, a couple from Texas that was traveling out of state to buy a car with cash. They didn't have a savings account. Cops pulled them over. They found a glass pipe with no traces of drugs at all. They made the couple forfeit thousands of dollars in cash in order to go free. They had a choice, stay in jail or go free.
So
they were never charged.
Department of Justice claims that these programs help destroy criminal organizations. It's a PR move there.
It's totally a PR move. This isn't about criminal organization. This is about mom and pop being stopped for the damnedest things, and all of a sudden they're arrested and they say, look, you have the right to either we confiscate your cash, maybe the car, or you go. It's a trade-off. It's okay. A third world kind of extortion, Ed.
America's lawyer, Mike Papantonio, with us tonight. Thanks, Mike. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
Wow. I mean, the fact that police are stealing more than criminals involved in burglaries ought to frighten you.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I mean, really? Are you kidding me? I pulled up the American Civil Liberties Union, who I'm not a huge fan of. They have a page on theirs on their website at ACLUNC.org. Read the stories of civil asset forfeiture victims. I'd like to figure out if we get some stats on Shasta County and what's going on in Shasta County as far as civil asset forfeiture. Is that happening here? Is our sheriff supporting that or not? You know, we'll have to do a little homework on that. But
we do have the sheriff coming on the program in a few weeks.
Oh,
I can't remember the date, but
okay,
yeah, I will double check on that. But have him coming on so we can discuss that and see what's going on and what's happening in our own county, in our own backyard, so to speak. Are they going to tie that to funding?
I'm beginning to think there's narcolepsy in the studio. So moving right along, that was funny. We've got another story here from the teaparty.org, which I'm not sure I would take too much credence with as far as their journalism. But
well, say which Tea Party we're talking about.
This is the teaparty.org. It's a website, their headline is California Attorney General Candidate Wants Death Penalty for Corrupt Lawmakers. I got to say, I'm actually for that to a degree.
I'm okay.
I'm okay with it. But does that tell you that the tone's changing a little bit here when, You know, we got Phil Wyman, who spent 17 years in the state legislature, said he was motivated by the case of Democratic Leland Yee facing federal charges that included an attempt to coordinate an international gun running scheme from the Philippines. You know, and he's saying that basically if legislation, you know, or corruption is endangering lives, then they should be up for the death penalty. And you know something?
I got a question. If our representatives and such are committing these crimes or suspected of these crimes, can we use civil asset forfeiture on them?
I was just thinking that.
You know, and that says California current law.
Can we seize the governor's mansion?
Yeah. I don't see why not. Why not?
It
works both ways, right?
It says
suspected of a crime.
It says here, California law currently allows lethal injections for murderers committed with aggravating circumstances, such as multiple slayings or murder for hire. Wyman would make an exception for corrupt politicians. Firing squad, at least it's a bit more macho than getting some other cocktail. Let that person choose. That person's been at the pinnacle of power. If he wants to be executed by firing squad, then let him. He said in an interview, I want to discourage and teach the new generation about values that nobody is above the law.
Well, hey.
Just saying. I couldn't resist.
You think that the politicians might act a little bit different if they knew that was coming?
I'm trying to figure out how to get them to pass it.
I got to say, you know, that I would, think about it, because I'll tell you what. When you see all the rest of these stories that, you know, we're going to go ahead and key that one up about the vaccines, Bob, the canned foods. And let's hear that one, and then we'll talk some more about the vaccine stuff and what's going on in that, realm or ream, how we're getting reamed in the realm. So, anyway, go ahead, Bob, play it.
Did you know your canned food could be linked to cancer? A new report tested 192 cans and found that 129 of those cans tested positive for bisphenol, also known as BPA, a chemical linked to increased risk of both breast and prostate cancer. Watchdog groups in the United States are calling on the canned food industry to make canned foods safer for humans and the environment. Here's RT's Ashley Banks with more.
The FDA claims BPA is safe for adults to consume. However, in 2012, the agency banned the sale of baby bottles and children's cups containing BPA. Scientific studies have linked BPA to increased risk of breast and prostate cancer, infertility, type 2 diabetes, obesity, asthma, and behavioral changes, including ADD. Six health and environmental groups constructed the Buyer Beware report showing which retailers sell canned foods containing BPA. The authors said their findings were alarming, saying, quote, we expected that the explosion in consumer demand for BPA-free packaging would have resulted in swifter action by canned food brands and retailers. However, 67% of the 192 cans tested, 129 contained BPA in the body and or the lid. So which brands have high levels of BPA? Well, the group found 100% of the Campbell's cans tested contained BPA. On Monday, Campbell outlined a plan to remove BPA from its cans by mid-2017. However, in 2012, the company said it would move away from BPA can linings. The company cited technical and financial challenges as the reason for their setback. The authors of Buyer Beware also tested 14 cans of food from the Del Monte brand and found 10 out of 14 cans tested positive for BPA. Del Monte's vice president in research and development, Scott Butler, said it's something we've been working on for 5 to 7 years, and it's been a complex journey to find alternatives that would meet our quality guidelines. Starting in May, Del Monte fruit, tomato, and vegetable products will be sold in BPA-free cans. The group also found that half of the General Mills cans sampled for the study tested positive for BPA, including Progresso and Green Giant. General Mills has not indicated a goal or timeline to move away from BPA can linings. Campbell's Soup, Del Monte, and General Mills are just a few companies that sell canned foods that are not BPA-free. The authors of this study are suggesting that retailers use the green screen for safer chemicals, which uses research and data collection to find safe substitutes for hazardous chemicals like BPA. In the meantime, in order to ensure that your food is safe to eat and drink, the Buyer Beware report recommends that you do these three things. Number one, avoid canned foods. Instead, purchase fresh and frozen foods. Number two, purchase soups and sauces in glass or other safe packaging. And number three, use glass and ceramic in the microwave. Watchdog groups like the one which published Buyer Beware are pressuring the food can industry to store canned foods that are safer for U.S. citizens and for the environment. Although companies like Del Monte and Campbell's Soup are shifting towards BPA-free cans, it may take years before other companies follow suit. In Washington, Ashley Banks, RT.
Wow, that gives you, instills a lot of confidence in you going to the store now, huh?
Well, jeez. Yeah. Do you see a pattern? They're coming out with all this stuff in Monsanto, you know, that it causes diabetes, ADHD. I mean, do you see a pattern going here, folks, you know, that maybe we need to get back to growing our own food and knowing what's in it?
Sure, you don't want to know where it's coming from or anything like that?
Yeah.
No, just leave that to Monsanto. Take care of it.
They'll take care of us. I can tell. They do.
Yeah, like McDonald's French fries.
They're doing such a stellar job. Bob looks like he's just got something over there he's got to say.
Oh, just wanted to give RT America credit for all these breaking news stories this morning.
Yeah.
Speaking of a pattern.
There you go.
Isn't that amazing? We got to go to Russian television to get a news anymore.
About
none of this. None of this makes the mainstream news. None of it.
Yeah.
Drives me crazy. Good grief. I mean, how much more do we need to understand that, you know, they're in the tank and the government's out of control?
And they don't have our best interest at heart at all here.
No, not at all.
No.
So with that, I got a few stories here about the CDC was forced to release documents showing they knew vaccine preservatives caused autism. Now, this is dated April 6th, and this comes from HealthLogics at .press. And PhD scientists and biochemists reveal hidden CDC documents showing, let's see if I can pronounce this, thimerosal in vaccines increased neurological problems. The CDC has been shunning the correlations among the thimerosal and neurological disorders for a totally long term. I'm not sure if that's correct English. Despite the fact that the FDA gave a 2-year deadline to get rid of the mercury-based preservatives from vaccines after the neurotoxins were banned in 1999, it nonetheless remains at the present time in 60% of flu vaccines. A vaccine industry watchdog has now received CDC documents that display statistically tremendous dangers of autism associated with the vaccine preservatives, something the CDC denies even if confronted with their very own information.
Yep.
Unfreaking believable. Okay, so now you want to go have the governor of the state of California and the legislator and the governor. Do you trust these guys, I mean, at all?
No.
Well, and it goes back to the FDA, too, because they knew that what was happening with the vaccines way back when, and they approved them. You know, it's FDA-approved thing you see all the time?
A couple of years ago, there was a congressman that got his hands on one of these FDA scientists that had been basically rolled out because he said, hey, well, my studies show that there's a link to autism and other childhood developmental diseases. And they said, oh, we don't want to hear your information. You better get out of here. And he testified before Congress that they destroyed hundreds of thousands of documents. And then he came out and said the biggest problem is not that there was an increase in autism, but it's an increase in autism among certain ethnic groups. It hit other ethnic groups harder than others. So to dilute their numbers, they took the ethnic groups that weren't hit by autism and expanded the number of them in the subset of data, so it didn't look like there was any
direct connection. Just changed the data to whatever we want it to say, so it looks good to the people out there, and they don't worry about having their children vaccinated,
you refer to things like that, like ethnic cleansing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, for nearly 10 years, Brian Hooker has been soliciting documents which might be kept under tight wraps through the facilities of Disorder Manipulative and Prevention, CDC. His greater than 100, so he's got more than 100 freedom of FOIA, freedom of information requests have led to copious evidence that the vaccine preservative, thimerosal, which continues to be used inside the flu shots, This flu shot is administered to pregnant ladies and toddlers. Can purport autism and different neurologically development disorders. Dr. Hooker, a PhD scientist, worked with the participants of Congress to craft the letter to the CDC that these days ended in his obtaining long-awaited facts from the CDC, the significance of which are historical. According to Hooker, the facts on over 400 babies born from 1991 and to 1997, which turned out to into analyzed through the CDC, I don't want to get too technical here, proves that equivocally that during 2000, CDC officers were knowledgeable internally of a very high hazard of autism, non-natural sleep problems, and sleep disorder associated with the thimerosal exposure. Factually, thimerosal is a mercury-containing compound that may be regarded as a human carcinogen. Mutagen, teratogen, and immune gadget disruptor at degrees underneath. Man, I'll tell you, it's just a little too techno here, but I think you get the point, is that here's another group of know-it-all government agents and ministers that know better than everybody else, and they're going to do whatever the hell they please. There's no accountability, yep. and then we're going to pass a law that says you have to do this.
Yeah, and they make it mandatory that children start getting these vaccines, like MMR, I believe it's like 12 to 15 months of age, and they have to have two doses of it. Your body's not even developed for one, you know, and the vaccine that people cry, well, it stops, you know, the spread or people getting measles and stuff. That's not true. That is totally untrue that actually more cases have been reported since they introduced the vaccine for measles, mumps, and rubella. But well, they don't give you that piece of information from the CDC.
Here's I suggest everybody do their homework on the Internet. I've got another place, botmovie.com, The Truth Behind Vaccines, Big Pharma, and Your Food, Fetal Cells, Formaldehyde, Pig DNA. You know, I mean, I don't know what all they're putting in this crap. The government wants to force these vaccines on our children and not require full disclosure of what we're putting in our bodies. Aluminum, fetal cells from aborted babies, and a plethora of other ingredients. Okay, it's time to demand the truth. I suggest everybody, you know, get involved in that because it's just unconscionable, you know, where we're headed with all this crap. And, you know, the evidence is becoming overwhelming that they've been manipulating the facts to hide this autism and whatever else is associated with these vaccines.
And it's not just the MMR. It's all of them.
So when,
you know, people need to wake up to that fact.
So when, you know, you're taking your kid to school and they say, well, if you don't get a vaccine, then your kid can't go to school. I guess my kid's not going to school.
That's kind of where we're at.
Yeah. I mean, whatever else we got to do.
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
they're allowing it to happen.
What choice do you have? Send your kid to public school where you're going to pay for him to be indoctrinated by the system, completely obliterated in intelligence by Common Core, lied to about the history of America, indoctrinated into the fundamentals of Islam, and you have to poison him with the potential of autism, or keep him at home and teach him myself. Yeah.
That's a tough one. I'm not sure.
You know, and we had a guest on Jefferson State of Mind mention it again today, and there's some of us that have been beating the drum. Maybe it's time for some of us with the capability to put together a school.
Well, I think that might be one.
Maybe
of the
that's
answers.
One of the most powerful tools we could do.
So. Yeah, something needs to be done because we know the educational system, like you said, is not working. It's not good for our children.
We know some amazing accredited teachers.
Yep.
We know people that have a history of school administration. We know a lot of people with the technical expertise and the teaching credentials and the knowledge that, you know, maybe if not a full-blown school, at least a program to help.
So.
Yeah. And what's scary about school, too, I have to say, is that's one place we send our children and we don't even know anything about the people that we're sending them.
I know.
Take care of them.
I know something about my kids, you know, my grandkids, and I want to give a shout out to my grandkids out there, Ethan, Aaron, and Lily. But you know, Ethan's teacher a couple years ago. I'm cruising by over there, and they're doing a rally for Bernie Sanders.
Well,
you know, on the corner of Cypress Avenue and Churn Creek there, and I look over and there's his former teacher holding up a big Bernie sign, and I'm thinking.
There you go.
Wow, I mean, if I'd have known that, I might have jerked him out of school over it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, we send them and they spend at least 8 hours in somebody else's care.
Yeah, we don't know.
And what do you know? Yeah, what do you know?
Teaching them?
And that's not an argument over Democrat and Republican. Oh, I don't want my kid to have a. No, I don't want my kid having somebody that supports the communist.
Exactly. Yeah. Teaching my kid anything.
Yep. You know, that's. And again, some of the things that we've been talking about here and on Jefferson State of Mind, the younger generation doesn't remember. Communisms are bad. Communists are very, very bad people.
And
they're not warm and fuzzy.
And fuzzy right up till they get control of everything. Yeah. And then all of a sudden they turn bad and ugly, you know.
Yeah, they only do meals on wheels for grandma and grandpa until they euthanize them.
Yeah.
Right.
Speaking of education, you see we're in Texas. They're not even allowing the parents or guardians to come on campus and get their children and walk them off campus.
Oh, hell
at
no.
The end of the year, at the end of the day, they say it's a safety reason that they can't allow the parents to go on campus and
safety.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, it's scary though. That is very scary that they're saying that they can't have access to the children because of safety reasons.
Now, again, I think most teachers are good teachers probably, and they have the kids' best interest in mind. But a lot of these teachers have been indoctrinated in these colleges, which we know, you know, are being taught Marxism is a good thing. You know, I mean, it isn't, how many of these Waters Worlds interviews do you got to see to see how dumb these guys are?
Well, I know a lot of teachers that are currently in the system or were in the system before, and they very much are not okay or happy with what's going on in our public education system, and they're actively looking for answers and solutions. What do we do? How do we stop this?
Right.
And with that, we have Ron from Reading on the line. Good morning, Ron.
Yes, good morning. I've got a suggestion.
Yeah.
On Common Core, I wonder how many schools here in Reading are Common Core. Maybe some of the parents could call in, or if you know of them, why don't you list the name of those schools on the air?
I believe all of them are.
Yeah, they're all of them are under Common Core.
Other than the private schools such as Liberty Christian and things like that, any public school in Shasta County
or charter school
started this year is Common Core curriculum.
Now, whether they're sticking to the curriculum, very closely, is another thing of debate, because a lot of the teachers realize that some of this is crap.
There are some, yeah.
Yeah, but then the other ones that think there are quite a bit of them that think that Common Core is a good thing. We've looked around at a lot of the schools already and seen what they're teaching, and by law, it's law in the state of California. They have to teach it according to the law.
If they want federal funding.
If they want federal funding, that's exactly
right.
Yeah,
there we go. Back to the funding, the money.
There's the carrot.
There's the carrot at the end.
Okay, thank you. I didn't know about all that stuff. Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for calling in.
All right,
we
very good.
It.
You know, and again, some of the things that we were preaching over and over and over is we have to connect the wisdom of the older generation with the youth and enthusiasm of the younger generation. We have got to get this together and communicating. Some of the best things that you can do is, depending on where you're at in your age group, get your kid or your grandkid and sit them down and talk to them. Explain to them America, what America means, what's been sacrificed, what's been given, and why. How many, say, 25 to 15-year-olds really have a fundamental grasp of what a communist is and why that's bad? Have a fundamental grasp of a totalitarian society.
Well,
evidently they don't.
Well, really what all these are is economic systems. It always comes back to economics, because when you're talking about communism, fascism, socialism, capitalism, you know, they're based on economic systems, free markets, you know, and so a communist system is based on government central control of everything, basically, you know, and how can that be good, of putting the control of everything in the hands of just a couple of people or a panel of people, 10 Politburo guys or whatever. Socialism is, you know, a little more relaxed communism that typically always leads to communism. Fascism. And when you look at these things, it's all about the government controlling everything in the economy, whether it's your health care, whether it's your paycheck, whether it's, food distribution, you know, whether it's the, you know, means of transportation. They control it all. And so what happens is it takes is one bad guy to rise to the top. Gee, look at what we got going today. If he had total control of everything, where do you think we'd be at? We'd be revolting in the streets already, because this guy would be out there trying to take our guns away.
Which they're pretty well working on.
They're
that. Yeah.
On
yeah. Yeah, they're pretty much.
So yeah. What happens when they get control of the people, historically, in every single case, they start going after their political enemies. They start killing people. They start euthanizing people. They start getting rid of their opponents. I mean,
you mean they would do things like use the Internal Revenue Service to silence their
no.
their opposition,
no,
or they would use like the FBI to kill people, like in I don't know Oregon or some place where you know they're talking about the BLM being out of control and things like that. So people start disappearing. Okay, and so I guess
committing suicide with nail guns.
Yeah.
Yeah, six times in the back, and he committed suicide. Yeah.
Exactly.
So you know, and you know, not in jest, it's true.
It is.
It is absolutely true that every single time the government gets control of everything, the common man suffers. The middle class goes away, and there's the elitists who run everything that are paid off by the government central planners, and then the rest of us just become poor people who, you know, have to depend on the government for everything they get, and their piece of the pie just gets smaller and smaller and smaller. Can you say Cuba?
Okay.
Yeah. Were we back to the cigar?
No. We're going to go into the economy, though, a little bit here. I sent Bob a clip on the Singtele Exchange, and I think it's a very good little video. It's on CNBC, you know, which, of course, reports all the news that ever needs to be reported. But I kind of like Singtele a little bit here. He's actually the guy that originally got the Tea Party started, supposedly, by saying, if I was in, you know, everybody out there, I'd be so mad, I'd start a Tea Party and throw it, you know. So, but he actually speaks the truth in a lot of cases, and I think this is one of those cases. So if we can get that queued up, that'll kind of key us into our economic segments here of negative interest rates and, gee, the worst earnings season.
Are we going to talk about the Panamanian papers?
Yeah, that's. I want to get that in the next hour, and then I also want to get in on the Supreme Court on the one-man, one-vote thing that you capsulized in your article on the
Oh,
on
yeah,
the
good old Devin Will Abbott.
So go ahead and run that if you can get past the commercial, Bob. And, you know, that's the trouble with these things. Okay, I think you're ready to go. So here's Rick Santelli, and then we'll comment after the piece is over. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay, I hit the button. Let's
go ahead,
try
Bob.
Again.
Good morning to Jim Bianco, my guest today. Jim, you know, when I consider Japan, I look out and I see a country whose stock market hasn't done what they thought it would do given the stimulus. They take rates negative. Still, it seems to deteriorate. It's counterintuitive with the logistics of the unwind of the carry trade as their currency gets strong. The last thing they wanted. Let's talk Japan.
You know, Japan is an interesting case because they went to negative interest rates on January 29th, and almost nothing that they expected that would happen from it has. Their currency is strengthened. It was supposed to weaken. Their markets were supposed to soar. They kind of did for a while, but now they've fallen back. And I think the bigger issue here is negative rates. You know, Sidney Homer wrote a famous book, A History of Interest
Rates. We all have a copy.
Yeah, I mean, he traced interest rates back to the Egyptians. You're not going to find any negative rates in that book. This is new. This is new. Yeah, we had negative rates here or there for a brief moment, but nothing. Those were one-offs. This is new. Nobody understands it. No one knows where to go with this. And it's really confusing everybody right now as far as the meaning and what I'm supposed to do in a negative rate environment.
Well, it's not confusing the people. People are buying safes in Japan. They can't keep safes in stock. I think they need bigger mattresses.
Exactly. They, in fact, the currency, the 10,000 yen note, which is their highest currency, they're producing more of them because people would rather store currency, which yields zero, than get a negative rate. You know that the Fed, in 2009, when they were looking at QE, they looked at the idea of going to negative rates, and they actually calculated the volume of a $100 bill and the volume of all of the vaults that banks have in the country, and figured out the break-even was minus 35 basis points. If the funds rate ever got there, banks would store all of the...
Well, it makes sense. You store it there versus taking a hit on it somewhere else.
But the thing about Europe is they have a 500-euro note. Now, no one's done the study in Europe, but with a 500-euro note, which is six times the value of a $100 note, their break-even's got to be lower, but nobody's doing that. They're not storing 500-euro notes.
So why aren't the Europeans asking, hey, how big is that room you have? Why aren't they doing the same thing?
I think they're in a state of, state of shock. They're in disbelief that they have negative rates. They think it won't last very much longer. They're not sure what they're supposed to do with it. There's an institutional sedentary there that if you said, look, let's clear out vault space and just store pallets of 500 euro notes because they yield zero rather than negative rate, people will laugh at them because they're not ready for this environment.
Back when you were about 15 years old, I was trading gold futures, okay? And one of the big issues then, when interest rates were much higher, is gold is a sterile commodity with negative carry. Nowadays, though, being a sterile commodity with basically no interest associated with it makes it the highest instrument around in certain respects.
Right. 5,000 years, it was the barbarous relic that yielded nothing. Now it's the high-yielding alternative
because
that yields
nothing.
Because of the negatives.
Yes. Jim Bianco, we live in an upside-down world, but you always get us standing straight. Thank you very much, and we're going to go back to the game.
Yeah. Now, if you don't know what negative interest rates are, that's what's being implemented in, five countries in the world and soon probably to be here, which is basically they charge you for you to store their money in their bank.
Well, not only store your money, they're still giving it out in loans and making a profit from it. They're charging you to use your money to issue loans to other companies.
Exactly. So, you know, this is in Sweden, the Netherlands, European Central Bank Deposit.
The happiest people in the world.
Swiss, Japanese commercial banks. So in other words, you know, you get to give them your money. They can confiscate it, not give it back to you. Give you if they're
and they're fascinated that people would rather hide their money at home than put it in a bank and have the bank take their money
or put it in gold while they're devaluing all of the other currencies in the world. Yeah, that barbarous relic that doesn't really matter except when everybody fails and you have counterfeiters issuing new currency and script everywhere.
Yeah, the value of gold is not the increase in value, but the fact that it doesn't devalue. It's the exact same thing from the underside of the glass.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess are we out of time? Go ahead,
Bob. I guess we're at top of the hour again. Stay tuned for the third hour of Sovereign Minds. This has been KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Prosecutors say the Muslim terror attack on Brussels was actually planned for a different city. We get more from correspondent Raphael Satter.
The group that has been arrested in Brussels was actually planning a second attack in Paris. And that's significant because it shows just how closely linked the two groups in Paris and Brussels really were.
Authorities say the terrorists got spooked and decided to carry out their attacks in Brussels. Another GOP senator joins the ranks of Republicans who say they will meet with President Obama's Supreme Court nominee this week. Correspondent Linda Kenyon.
So far, 17 GOP senators have said they are open to meeting with Judge Merrick Garland. Three have already done so. The latest to schedule a meeting during the week is Senator Lindsey Graham. Senator Charles Grassley, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, plans a breakfast meeting with the nominee. The Judiciary Committee is responsible for holding confirmation hearings and sending recommendations to the full Senate. Grassley says his meeting does not signify that he's breaking ranks with Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. He says he'll simply reiterate McConnell's directive that the next president should choose a nominee, so there will be no hearings and no vote on this nominee. Linda Kenyon, Washington.
SpaceX has come calling at the International Space Station early this morning. The Dragon cargo ship successfully captured it as 7,000 pounds of supplies. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-423-4557. That's 1-800-423-4557. 1-800-423-4557. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors not available in all states.
Senator Chuck Schumer is introducing legislation requiring a $25,000 reward for information gathered through social media that helps thwart any terror attack. The New York Democrat says the legislation will be introduced later this month. He says that the public should, quote, say something if they see something, especially on their news feed. He says current law does not specifically cover tips generated through social media. The proposed bill would require the Department of State to pay rewards of no less than $25,000 for intel that leads to an arrest or a conviction in any terrorist case that came through social media. Former New Orleans Saints player Will Smith shot and killed late last night after a traffic accident, perhaps a road rage situation. A local man in New Orleans has been arrested. The former defensive end was 34 years old. He leaves behind a wife and three children. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. An automotive trade group is warning federal transportation officials to put the brakes on a push for self-driving cars.
The group warns there are big obstacles to overcome before self-driving cars are safe. Among them, the technology relies on clear lane markings to work, and the Association of Global Automakers points out that more than half the nation's roads might not qualify, not to mention private parking lots and driveways. There's also the issue of inconsistent traffic control devices, for instance, horizontal rather than vertical traffic lights. The association warns a government plan to have guidelines ready in 6 months may be unrealistic.
Wally Hines reporting. Today is Sunday, April the 10th. It is the 101st day of 2016. There are 265 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1912, the Titanic set sail from Southampton, England. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Ah, spring. Finally. Nothing like the feeling of spring throughout your home. Budget Blinds. In the world of window coverings, Budget Blinds Redding is all you need to know to have exquisite custom window treatments that enhance every room of your home. How? Convenience. Budget Blinds Redding will come to your home or place of business, ask the right questions, and help you select the looks, styles, and colors to make every window a creation you'll love. Style. Budget Blinds Redding will show you the newest trending styles like the cordless dual shades. Energy efficiency. Budget Blinds Redding can help you determine the best selection for your windows, such as a room darkening double cell cellular shade or a layered treatment. You'll save on heating and cooling costs with the right window treatments. Expertise and safety. Budget Blinds Redding will design window coverings for different size windows to unify a room to look perfectly balanced. And most importantly, safety. Budget Blinds Redding can answer any questions about child safety.
Whenever you call Budget Blinds, you're always going to get a live person on the phone. Call today, 226-9027, or visit us on the web at www.budgetblinds.com.
Obtaining a home loan is easier than ever with your local hometown mortgage officer, Megastar Financial. Hi, I'm John Whitmarsh, and I promise to make your home purchase or refinance a smooth experience without headache or hassle. I offer competitive rates for conventional home loans, home improvement, FHA, VA, and USDA loans. So talk to me today, John Whitmarsh with Megastar Financial, because our home is right here, and I want to help you with yours. Call me at 530-945-9660 or find me at MegastarFinancial.com.
Megastar is an equal housing lender, MLS ID 3043.
Hi, this is Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista. Summer is here and Mighty Fine Foods is your one-stop shop on the way to the lake. We barbecue every Friday and have everything you need to maximize your summer fun. Stop by the deli for daily specials under $5, sandwiches made to order, and hot food served all day. With over 1,000 cold drinks, more than 250 beers, a full liquor and wine section, and the best meat prices you'll find anywhere, Mighty Fine pairs big store selection with small store service. Mighty Fine is just a short drive east of Redding at the corner of 299 and Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista. Locally owned and operated since 1977, Mighty Fine.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, offers the best in coffee and other drinks at Espresso Joe's. Lattes, cappuccinos, espressos, tea, and much more are offered at great prices and even better taste. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California. It includes all types of tobacco and accessories, and a walk-in humidor that is awesome with variety and taste. Tobacco and Brew, a veteran-owned business that supports our community. 2143 Hilltop Drive, open 7 days a week. Tobacco and Brew.
Each Saturday at 9 o'clock, it's the Ron Largent Show, talking about Redding. And we have great community sponsors. They include Russell Cleaning Service for carpet cleaning, the Shasta Athletic Club to keep you really fit, and Zach Bay State Farm Insurance, your good neighbor agent in Redding. Each week, we cover many interesting topics. Our goal is to inform you of what's happening. So tune in each Saturday at 9 o'clock to keep informed. The Ron Largent Show. It's the happening place.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up. Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside. I am
Sovereign Mind Radio. We're in the third hour now here, and gosh, isn't this exciting?
It is.
There's so much good news on the horizon. Oh man, I just, you know, fantastic. Sunshine and lollipops. You know, before we get back onto the economy here, I just look at this one story. It says, the U.S. Department of Justice set up a fake school called the University of Northern New Jersey to entrap students and enrollment brokers who were seeking not to educate, but a way to obtain visas. So that's where our DOJ's at, you know, instead of, you know, prosecuting Hillary Clinton and going after her for, you know, espionage.
Isn't that entrapment?
Yeah, it kind of is, you know. But who cares about that anymore? Let's just get all those 21 brokers that were arrested and 1,076 foreign students, mostly from China and India, who were enrolled in non-existent classes.
Did they know that they were enrolled in non-existent classes?
I just couldn't resist the story. It's unbelievable. You know.
Wow.
You know, why are they here in the first place, and how did they enroll in the classes that don't exist in a non-existent
probably
school?
Online.
And how much did they spend on this project to set this all up? When why didn't they just deport him in the first place?
Yeah, who screwed up and issued him a visa to go to school in a school that didn't exist?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm going to the University of I can't tell you.
Yeah.
And oh boy.
I'm going to southwestern eastern Illinois, Montana. Where? Tech?
Yeah, we're giving classes in remedial Sololensky. Anyway, so getting back to our proof that America is in decline here, you could go to the WashingtonBlog.com and you might see a story called 19 Facts That Prove That Americans are Worse Than They Were 6 months Ago, even. You know, has the economy gotten better over the past 6 months or has it gotten worse, you know? And so...
No, the economy is right where it's supposed to be. We're in recovery. This is the new normal. We just have overinflated expectations as dirty capitalists before.
That's right.
So there's no problem.
There's no problem.
We are perfectly normal now.
Yep.
The recovery continues.
Sure, we're recovering capitalists.
The fact that we had wealth before was an unreasonable expectation.
That's right.
Oh.
So now we're on the blended glide path.
That's right.
But, you know, it's, you know, and we're starting to start implementing zero interest rates so that you can give your money to the banker, you become an unsecured creditor, you know, and they, you know, you put your $100,000 in and they give you back $99,000. Oh, unless the bank goes under here pretty soon, and then they don't give you back anything. And then the FDIC, which is in cahoots with this whole thing, you know, who's supposed to have insurance up to $250,000.
For them.
Know, they get, you get stock in the failed bank, which you're now no longer a depositor, you're a stockholder. And they bankrupt you as a stockholder, and then you don't get the insurance because you're no longer a depositor.
Well, who in their right mind is going to pay a bank to use their money?
Read the joint paper between the U.S. and the Bank of England on how they're going to handle a global systemic meltdown of the banking industry.
They would never do anything like that.
Yeah,
you know?
Who's going to...
Is that why Putin issued an arrest warrant for... for Soros and Rothschild.
And then all of a sudden they do a big data dump. Oh, wow. These guys are weird. They're all bad, but who knows. So right now, we got factory owners.
Do they have private servers?
Yeah, they just have, we know. Hey, what the heck?
Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Right now, U.S. orders have declined on a year-over-year basis for 16 months in a row. Okay. Does that sound like, in 60 years,
we are recovering towards normal.
The U.S. economy has never suffered a 16-month continuous year-over-year drop in factory orders without being in a recession. But we're not in a recession.
That's right.
Because the stock market has not.
It is the greatest recovery towards normal ever.
Yeah. You just keep pumping it up. You have an algorithm. They probably got a computer. They just know today we're going to go up or down. And it doesn't matter if everything else. It doesn't matter if, Hoovervilles are springing up all over the country. We're not in a recession yet, I tell you, we're not in a recession.
The computer says so.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they
tell
said,
the truth. Yeah. No, we can't tell the truth.
Hmm.
And if actual numbers say different, just don't count those numbers.
Yeah. Just change them. We don't like them.
It's being projected, though, that corporate earnings will be down 8.5% for the first quarter of 2016 compared to 1 year ago. Yes, and the recovery is accelerating.
Right into normal.
Right into normal. Let's see. Business sales have fallen 5% since mid-2014. S&P 500 earnings have now fallen a total of 18.5% from their peak in 2014.
See, we ought to be a second-rate socialist country in no time. We're right on the blended glide path. We're recovering right into normalcy.
There you have it. Corporate debt defaults are starting to soar, highest level since 2009. The average rating on U.S. corporate debt has fallen to BB, which is lower than it has been at any point since the last financial crisis. Oil rig count just at a 41-year low. Let's see. According to Challenger Grand Christmas, job cut announcements by major firms in the United States were up 32% since the first quarter, during the first quarter of 2016 compared to the first quarter of 2015. The consumer's credit during fourth quarter. Existing home sales in the U.S. were down 7.1% during the month of February, and this was the biggest decline that we have witnessed in 6 years, kind of like close to the other financial crisis. The other financial crisis is kind of like the other white meat. Is it still us or is it them? Whatever.
I don't know. It's normal.
It's normal.
It's just normal.
The restaurant's performance index in the U.S. recently dropped to the lowest levels that we've seen since 2008. That's the restaurant performance index.
That's just proof that people are finally overcoming their capitalist greed.
Bastards. The major retailers all over the country are shutting down hundreds of stores as the retail apocalypse accelerates. Okay, the retail apocalypse accelerates.
Is that like Black Friday?
It's like now it's like every day's Black Friday. Every day's like black. It's like black, they're having black sales everywhere. Just saying.
Terrible.
Okay. If you take the number of working age Americans that are officially unemployed, 8.1 million, that's the official numbers, and add that number to the number of working age Americans that are considered to not be in the labor force, which is 93.9 million.
Oh.
That gives you a grand total of 102 million working age Americans that do not have a job right now.
In a nation of like 380 million people? And then you take the percentage of that that's kids and non-working. Uh-oh.
That can't be true.
Nope. I don't like your number. Go back and count again.
Yeah, try again.
According to Common Core math, that equals 5% unemployment.
Yes. I like Bob's math much better. Give that man a grant.
Yeah. Hey, give him some food stamps and an EBT card and some welfare.
A free phone.
He is our new head economic advisor. Set him up.
Greenspan, look out. We've got Bob Martin.
5%. If you can have that to a 4.7 by the next quarter, we'll get you another grant.
But Bob has common sense. See, that's the problem.
Nope, no money for you,
though. Okay, so you're cut.
Yeah.
All right, you said too much.
You don't make the list.
You're gone.
No.
You're part of that 5%.
Yeah, you and Yellen are not going to be tied any,
Thank God.
I don't know how these people do this stuff with a straight face. I don't know how they accomplish it.
Well, just like that last clip we had of Obama. I ended the war. We've ended the war. I promised in the war. Why is everybody talking about the war? They act like it's my decision.
Yeah,
I mean, that one close, like me. Yeah, I don't know why this keeps coming up. I mean, they just lie flat out, straight out. It doesn't matter what the real statistics say. It doesn't matter what the truth is.
How do you exist
just keep lying. Gee, isn't that what they did in Germany somewhere? They just kept, we're winning the war. We're winning the war. Yeah, we're winning the war.
I don't understand.
Don't pay attention to those bombs going off outside.
Exist as a person like that for any period of time.
It's like Baghdad Bob. There's nobody. Remember Baghdad Bob? Well, there's nobody coming into Baghdad. What are you talking? It's silly. Shut up. What are you talking about? Okay. Number 17. Since peaking during the third quarter of 2014, U.S. exports, goods, and services have been steadily declining. This is something we never see outside of a recession that we're not really in. So this is like a recovering recession.
Well, no, see, normally this would be referred to as a trade deficit, which is a bad thing. But in a one-world global economy, there's no winners or losers because we're all one. So there is no deficit. Again, we're just recovering to normal. You have to get that capitalist pig mindset out of your mind. You have to do that. It's okay. You'll get there.
I'm feeling better.
Eventually.
I'm feeling much better.
Yeah.
Okay, so number 18. The cost of everything related to medical care just continues to skyrocket, even though our wages are stagnating. According to the Social Security Administration, 51% of all American workers make less than $30,000 a year, and yet the cost of medical care just hit a brand new all-time high.
But that's okay. Yeah. The government pays for it.
Oh.
And California just raised the minimum wage to $15, so
exactly.
Everything's going to be okay. What's the problem?
Medical care is more expensive, but the government's going to pay for it for me, and now there's more money to be had on minimum wage.
I want my vaccine now.
I don't understand what's wrong with you radicals. You people are just nuts. Everything is great.
Bastards.
It's fantastic.
All right. Let's see.
After this, I'm going to go get
rainbows and lollipops.
I'm going to go get myself some free college after this.
I just want a cup of coffee and some pie.
Well, that will cost you dearly.
Yeah.
Wrong answer.
Number 19. Our government debt continues to spiral out of control. At this point, it is sitting at a staggering total. I can't even. The number's so long, I'm not even sure I can read it. It's like 19,218,516,838,306,052 But when Barack, remember when he was Barack Obama,
Barack,
the savior. He's like Barack.
Again, you just don't understand how to do the new math. Okay, because a deficit is a negative. And with the banks charging negative interest rates, you now have two negatives, which make a
positive.
So what you're saying
is
that a negative is a positive. Is that what you're saying?
If you put a positive into a bank and they're going to charge you a negative, that becomes a larger negative, which is
bad. Depends on which side of the positive you're on.
But if you just put your debt into the bank and they charge you a negative interest rate, therefore you come out with a Keynesian positive.
If you're a banker, it's totally positive.
Why don't you capitalists get about
this? What the hell's wrong with you, you bastards?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
That's just racist, Bob.
Yeah. And I when I say Barack Obama, you know, I'm saying that, you know, I try to keep this in the nicest way possible because I don't want to be branded a racist because, you know, saying that Barack Obama, since he has first entered the White House, you know, it was only $10.6 trillion our deficit. That means the government has been stealing an average of, $100 million an hour from future generations of America every single hour of every single day since Barack Obama was inaugurated. And that's because I hate black people, right?
Yeah, I'm yeah.
I don't discriminate.
It's because you're racist against half black, half white Muslim communists.
But I kind of like hate white people too, and black people, and brown people, and orange people, and purple people.
You're an equal opportunity.
I'm an equal opportunity hater, Hey, I bet there's a position in government for me.
I think they call that Irish.
more grog for the men. Hey, I'm liking that. So, okay. How in the world can anyone look at these numbers, look at these charts, look at these facts, and suggest that everything is okay? Unless you work at MSNBC.
Wow, so what you're saying is we need a lesbian in a pantsuit and it'll all make sense?
we need like the Cheech and Chong news hour. We do. It's like, yeah. Hey, man, hey, could you pass me some of that data, please?
Like, wow, man. I would submit to you that Cheech and Chong understand free market capitalism a lot better than a lot of people.
They do. It's like, hey, you got the stuff, man?
Dave's not here.
Dave's not here.
I was
going to
say, Dave's not here.
Yeah, you know, so, I mean, really, really, truly, does anybody with a thinking brain think that the economy is recovering? Anybody out there? Am I the only malcontent Irish person that hates everyone on God's green earth?
Yep. That's it.
Winner.
Ding, 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 ding. He had tried for double jeopardy in the bonus round.
No? Don't even have to pick the door. It's right all behind door number one, just for you.
Hey, Bob, I want the curtain, man.
What's behind door number three, Monty?
Oh, boy.
Oh, man.
We got to do like the kids do. Dun, dun, dun. let's go to a break. I don't know if I can. We got to regroup here.
We're going to go to a break. If you want to call in and have a question or comment, please give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
This is Summer Chappelle inviting you to the Bella Vista Farms Animal Sanctuary Dinner and Auction on April 29th at the Wind River Event Center. Social hour starts at 5:30 with a dinner at 6:30. Come join me and my friends for an evening of fun, great food, a fantastic auction, and plenty of good old country music. Get your tickets today at the VCA Animal Clinic, online at bellavistafarm.org, or give Chick Miller a call at 347-0544. Can't wait to see you.
What do you get when you add Aaron Ryan, Bill Cundiff, and Bob Martin to an amazing lineup of guests on KCNR 1460 AM?
You get We the People Radio every Sunday from noon till 2. Join us anytime online at wethepeopleradio.us.
We the People Radio goes beyond the mainstream soundbites to bring you the entire story on politics, veterans affairs, land use, and private property rights. Join us online at wethepeopleradio.us, where we've always got environmental craziness, Agenda 21, Common Core, Foreign Affairs, and everything in between.
It's the most fun you can have while your blood pressure's going through the roof.
Join us this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. And we welcome your suggestions for future topics and guests at wethepeopleradio.us. We the People, now on Sundays from noon till 2 on AM 1460 KCNR.
This is going to be good.
Wow! Rodeo, steer wrestling, team roping, saddle bronc riding, barrel racing, and of course, bull riding. Rodeo.
Reading Rodeo.
The fun and action-packed events held every night during the rodeo. Reading Rodeo 2016 tickets are on sale now at readingrodeo.com. Don't miss the excitement of the 2016 Reading Rodeo. Get your advance tickets to the barbecue steak feed and dance kicking off the rodeo on Saturday, May 14th. Go to readingrodeo.com, click on tickets to buy your tickets now. You can get your e-tickets now delivered right to your smartphone or computer, then just scan them at the event. We'll see you and all your friends at the Reading Rodeo 2016, May 18th through the 21st at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. Reading Rodeo.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Redding Yellow Cab, and they'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Redding Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Redding Yellow Cab, and they'll do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call them at 222-1234.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Part of it, we've got to pull.
Sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is what I feel when we're together. Brighter than a lucky penny when you're near the rainbow. Disappears, dear, and I feel so fine just to know that you are mine. My life is sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. That's how the street rain goes. So come on, join in. Everybody, sunshine, lollipops, and rainbows. Everything that's wonderful is sure to come your way when you're in love to stay.
That's it. The Prozac's in full swing now.
Oh, boy.
I'm peeking.
You want your vaccine?
Excited.
Here, let me help you out.
Yeah, is it time for our vaccination?
Yeah, exactly. Here.
Hold on. I'm getting a vein.
You don't have to tie yourself off, will it? We'll fix you up. Yeah,
no problem.
Yeah, no problem.
As soon as the mercury kicks in, you won't care about anything.
Yeah, you'll be okay. You'll be all right.
It doesn't matter anymore.
When your teeth falls out, you don't have to worry about dentistry. So, anyway, go ahead and play that clip. Get it queued up there. I'd like to raise my debt limit. And then we need to start actually talking. You got the veterans.
Yeah.
So get some veterans.
Let me get a couple of veteran things in here. On May 21st, we got Armed Forces Day coming. We'll be at the Senior Citizen Hall, out at the Veterans Hall on Yuba Street, 1605 Yuba Street, from 12 to 3 p.m. This is for Fallen Rider Memorial Luncheon, and we will be serving both inside and outside at this event. So come down and see us. We're going to be having tri-tip chicken, dogs, burger, salad, all kinds of good stuff down there. So, again, that's
hot
made.
Dogs or dogs?
Hot dogs. Dogs.
Hot dogs. Get them while you're hot. Get your dog.
Yeah, on May 21st. And then also I want to say happy birthday to the submarine force out there. Tomorrow is their birthday, 116th birthday for the submarine force out there. So happy birthday, guys. Thanks for everything. We appreciate it.
Perfect. Oh, okay. So have you got that queued up, Bob? All right, so we're going to listen to this. This is about how much our government is making these days, as far as what they want to do with our money. Here's a guy going in to It's a Bank. Go ahead, Bob. It's entitled Debt Limit.
What can I do for you today? I would like to raise my debt limit.
Excuse me? My debt limit. I'd like to raise it.
Because the last time I checked, Mr. Smith, you were in serious debt.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Figure we should raise that limit.
Yeah, it says here you're $140,270 in debt.
Right. So I figured we should raise that limit to about $170,000. I just bought a 60-inch flat screen. Have you ever been to Australia?
No.
Leaving tomorrow, mate. You should check it out. Great parasailing.
Do you have some new income that I don't know about?
No, still making about $21,000 a year.
Okay. And are you still spending $38,000 a year?
That's what it says.
So you're adding $17,000 a year in debt.
Wow, is that what it comes out to? Debt limit going up. Ding!
Have you made any cuts in your expenses?
Oh, of course, yes. My wife and I cut $380 out of our annual budget. It's $380. Brutal.
Okay, so you're adding $17,000 a year to your $140,000 in debt, and you cut $380.
Well, you say it like that, it makes it not sound like a lot.
Hey, maybe you should think about generating some new income. Maybe a new job, maybe ask for that raise.
Oh, asking for that raise, I'm not comfortable. That's an awkward conversation. I've always been able to raise my debt limit.
Yeah, well, this is a little different.
Well, how?
We're in the middle of a recession, and your credit rating will plummet if you continue to go along this path.
I almost had it.
You don't see how bad this is, do you?
I cut my budget by $380. Are you kidding?
I'm sorry, Mr. Smith. We can't help you.
Just a little.
I'm very sorry.
My wife is going to lose it.
Been there.
I mean, $380 is bad enough. This is going to end our marriage. We stopped talking to each other for a month. The baby was totally freaked out.
Wait. You have kids?
Yeah. Yeah.
27 minutes later.
Sign there.
All right. Our kid's a blessing. I mean, she's got plenty of time to deal with all this, right?
Absolutely.
Are we all set?
You're all set.
All right. Let's go, kiddo. We got to meet mommy at the car store.
I love the kid signing the contract with the crayon.
Yeah.
Thank you. Enjoy.
Thanks.
Yeah. No consequences. You know, I mean, we'll just, the only difference is that we'll just keep printing our own money. We'll just keep counterfeiting. Digits, we don't even have to counterfeit. We just enter the digits into the computer, and all of a sudden we have tons more money to fund our government with, except that I went to the store yesterday, and it was $13 for a little bottle of juice. And potatoes, forget about those. They're kind of getting expensive. So I forget what I walked out with, but $42 later, I had some butter
and milk and eggs.
I had some cream for my coffee, and I'm trying to think what else I had in the cart. In fact, I didn't have a cart. I had a little basket that I had in my hand.
You don't use carts anymore because you can't fill them up.
Yeah. I guess does that really matter? That, you know, food prices are going through the roof because we've got an inflationary cycle that they've been trying to bury and lie to us about. And
do we really have to go through this again?
I'm sorry.
It's normal. We're just to the new normal. We're recovering to normal.
I'm sorry.
What is really hilarious is at the end of this video that I'd like to raise my debt limit, they show two examples on the screen example you just heard, and then the exact same numbers with eight zeros added on to all of them.
Yeah.
And it comes out to the same thing. Amount cut equals about 1% of the total budget.
$380.
Yeah.
That's the actual federal numbers of what they did when they raised the debt limit.
In this case, instead of $380, it's $38,500,000,000. Which
sounds huge.
Don't worry. Billion. We're going to give everybody EBT cards, just like they do in Sweden. And You know, we'll just take care of it. The government will just give you money. Just take, they're going to print it. They're going to make digits. Everything's going to be fine. And, you know, everybody will not work anymore. And so I'm not sure where the goods and services are coming from because, you know, we got 93 million people out of work.
And make sure you give the
Muslim
kids different
immigrants.
And then we can get all of our goods and services from foreign countries.
Muslim immigrants are there to do the jobs that Swedes won't do.
Those damn Swedes.
Man, you guys really don't get any of this, do you?
And make sure the kids have different colored crayons so they can sign the documents. And make
different
it all
colored crayons is racist.
Oh.
We need one colored race, one colored crayon. Black, the amalgamation of all color.
Have you ever noticed why, like, on a pool table, that the white ball always strikes the black ball to win the game?
Wow.
All righty, then.
We may just have to bump you up to immediate re-education.
Do we have to show up at the old... do we have to go to the old drive-in theater again and stand out there in the middle of the night?
You can't find one. You can't go
all
there.
All I know
there isn't
is,
one.
It is some night very soon I'm going to be down there talking to you through a chain link fence and you're going to be going, "Avenge me! Avenge me!" Oh, man.
No.
Do you recommend we get different colored balls or just outlaw the game?
I don't know, but there's something racist about that. I just know there's something racist about the way the pool table's set up. Because you got your stripes and you got your solids.
You just had to open your mouth.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, now they're going to put some law in about our, you know, playing billiards, you know. You just had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You just couldn't
leave
it alone.
On a positive note, the table is green.
Well,
yeah, some, okay. Not all.
That stands for the underlying Irish controlling, you know, the world.
Except I was going to go with money.
I was too. I was going to say money.
Damn it! I wanted the Irish to control everything.
Well, what you want and what you get isn't always the same.
Wasn't for that little thing called liquor, we would have taken over.
I was just going to say, if God had wanted the Irish to rule the world, he wouldn't have given us whiskey.
I think we're off track here a little ways, but let's
get to the point you don't even want to talk about it anymore because
so
you just want to pull your hair out.
It's so stupid that, you know, but hey, you know, hey, they'll tell us anything we want to hear.
Everything's good. Nothing to see here. Move
don't on. Worry. Hey, lady, the economy's doing fine. Hey, lady.
Be in your pool.
Oh, boy. So... let's talk about the Supreme Court and the one man, one vote thing that you did an article
with. The Evan Will Abbott decision.
Yeah.
As some people know, if those of you that aren't familiar, there was a Supreme Court case that came up a little while ago. And really the question is who should be counted in voting districts? When they draw the lines for voting districts, who should be counted? And really the big problem that they're having is huge numbers of illegal aliens, of non-citizens being counted in voting districts. And when they expand that numbers, it tends to suck representation away from the rural areas into the urban areas. We face the same problem here in California. And the case is that non-eligible voters should not be counted in voting districts because it dilutes the vote of those of eligible voters. Now, the Supreme Court threw that case out 8-0, but they threw it out 4-4 on different reasons behind it. Now, four of them, Kennedy, Ginsburg, Sandra Day O'Connor, the other one, I can never remember.
Kagan, Sotomayor.
Yeah, those guys, they threw it out based on one man, one vote. Everybody in America needs to be counted. Okay, now... four other justices came down and said, look, there are people that you're going to disenfranchise with this remedy. There are American citizens that are not eligible to vote that are still guaranteed representation under the Constitution. Felons that can no longer vote still are deserving of representation. School children that make use of public services. Citizens that may not be eligible to vote but are still subject to taxation deserve representation. So you can't just blanket disenfranchise anybody. Really, to be honest, they completely ignored the elephant in the room that the question was over non-citizen illegal aliens being counted. They didn't even address it. The only one that really
lightly touched on it with Scalia when he said the only people that should be considered in voting districts are citizens eligible to taxation or in need of representation. That was the only thing they touched on. So the illegal alien question is still wide open. But Clarence Thomas and Scalia wrote a concurrence, which means that they agreed with the decision of the court, but they vastly disagreed with the reasons for agreeing with the court. Scalia and Thomas very heavily attacked one man, one vote, stating that it's essentially what's been wrong with our state legislatures for the last 50 years, and that it's past time for the court to answer the question and remedy it. And the ultimate answer for the court is there is no mention of voting, or is it within the purview or power of the Supreme Court to dictate to the states in what manner they shall create their legislatures, that right is reserved exclusively in the Constitution to the people and is not within the domain of the Supreme Court to decide. Scalia went even further, blasting them and saying, how can you say that the federal model of government with two houses, a House of Representatives based upon population and the Senate based on equal representation, is unconstitutional when it comes to setting up a Republican form of government within the states? How can you make that disqualification? To which Ginsburg replied basically that the form of government that we have at the federal model was a one-time quirk, an oopsie, an accident that should never occur again, and that model cannot exist within the states because in no way, shape, or form are the cities and counties sovereign entities to negotiate on the level with the state, which is complete nonsense. And so they heavily attacked it, and they left the door wide open for further cases to come after Reynolds versus Sims, one man, one vote. And it shows at least four of the justices are heavily in favor of taking up the question again, and their answer to it is it's none of our business.
Wow. So where do we go from here?
Well, we continue with the court case for the state of Jefferson. We bring the question and see where the Supreme Court goes with it. If the Supreme Court takes the one-man, one-vote thing and declares that the court has no jurisdiction to decide what recourse that a state takes in government as long as it's a Republican form of government, that case is going to go back to the state of California, and they can no longer rest their case on, well, we do this because the Supreme Court says we have to. Now the state of California is going to have to answer the question, why are you not allowing a Republican form of government in the state of California? And you don't get to say because somebody made us do so. And not only that, we can point out that the federal model of government is the intended form of Republican government stated in the Constitution, and they have to argue why they're not following that. It's very, very good for us. Well, it was a setback for some people. They had an inappropriate remedy is what the entire problem was. And again, it just opens the door to bring yet another case specifically to disenfranchise non-citizen voters, which they should not be accounted for in representation. If you are not a citizen of this country, if you are not subject to the taxation and laws of this country, then you should not be subjected to the representation, let alone removing representation from the citizens of the country to entitle yourself to it.
Well, we probably should get, I think we had a caller.
Yes,
on the line.
We do. We have Billy Bob on the line from Palisadro. Good morning, Billy Bob.
Well, thanks for taking my call. Great dissertation there, Red. You're so smart. You're the smartest knuckle dragon guy I know.
I thought you were going to say the smartest knucklehead you know, and I was going to think, well, that's kind of
weird. No, he calls himself a knuckle dragger, right?
I am.
Anyway, great show earlier this morning. And I just wanted to call in that last segment or last hour or the last half hour. You guys on that roll are the most fantastic radio that I listen to, and I listen to tons of radio. And I don't have a TV, so that's a compliment. And I just wanted to give you a pat on the back, all of you. And again, I wanted to put my number in for Donald Trump, and he's the only way out of this mess. I mean, no one else is going to take this this boondoggle on and get anything done. Absolutely nothing will be done with Ted Cruz. I mean, so anyway, we got one last hope here, and he will end up being one of the best presidents America ever had. So carry on. Great show. All right. Bye.
All right. Thanks for calling
in. Thanks a lot.
Billy Bob.
I appreciate it, Billy Bob. So maybe we should go to a break. We got one more here before we get to the last part, unless somebody else has something to add. Has got any?
No, we'll go to a break. And if you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
When it all goes crazy and the thrill is gone, the days get rainy and the nights get long, when you get that feeling you were born to lose, staring at your ceiling, thinking of your blues. When there's so much trouble that you wanna cry, the world has crumbled and you don't know.
You are running your own business. You already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Come on out May 14th and 15th for Haven Humane's Dogathon Festival. From 1 to 5 p.m. on Saturday, May 14th, start your weekend with free family and pet-friendly activities, canine demonstrations, splash dogs, fly ball, vendors, food, and our very own West Munster Family Dog Show. At 5 p.m., enjoy dinner and dancing at the Boots, Scoot, and Doggies Barbecue and Concert featuring Chad Bushnell, all at Haven Humane Society just off 273. On Sunday, put on your tennies, leash up your dog, and come out to Turtle Bay for Haven Humane's 5K and 10K run walk. For barbecue tickets and race registration, go to havenhumane.org.
While most of Shasta County still has hours before their day begins, the bakery staff at Orchard Nutrition Center is wide awake and beginning their day. Each morning they arise well before the dawn to start about their task of creating fresh, wholesome, nutritious baked items. Why do we do what we do? Sabrina, the Orchard Nutrition Center bakery manager, has been the culinary heartbeat of the bakery department since 2003. Sabrina, along with bakery clerk Kathleen, used the freshest ingredients available to create a variety of freshly baked breads, muffins, cookies, scones, and an abundance of baked gluten-free and vegan items every day. Great detail is taken to ensure that every item meets the strict Orchard Nutrition Center guidelines for taste, nutrition, and freshness. At Orchard Nutrition Center, our staff is like family, and our customers are our friends who come back again and again because we truly believe we're all in this together. We love seeing the smiles on our customers' faces. So when people ask, why do we do what we do? That's why. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly local Whole Foods store.
Have you ever had your vehicle in a shop for a collision repair? When you called to check on it, did no one seem to know anything about it? Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Did you feel like a number when you were given canned rhetoric or generalization not specific to your vehicle? Although we are recognized as an authority in frame and suspension repair, we are primarily an auto body and truck collision repair center. When you select Coachmaster, we will tell you exactly how we are going to repair your vehicle. You will know the person in charge and get direct answers to your questions and follow-up phone calls, because every vehicle is personal to us.
With our knowledge of the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to get started quickly. A reputation for excellent service and high-quality repairs takes years to build, and we intend to keep it. Coach Master, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
After they took I from the bottomless pit, but my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help to sing these songs of freedom? 'Cause all I ever have, redemption songs, redemption songs. Emancipate yourselves from
it. I was laughing in the chat room, Reedy.
What?
Oh boy. Listen, I just sent Bob another video clip here of Hillary Clinton, and I think we should play this. You know, it shows you how disconnected the media is on what's happening here with Hillary being investigated by the FBI, and Hillary, you know, sticking to her guns till the bitter end if there is any justice at all. So go ahead and play it, Bob, and we got about 5 minutes left, and then we'll wrap it up. This is Matt Lauer doing the interview.
You know what I hear a lot? They are clinging to the hope that the way they'll be able to deal with that is that at some point between now and the election, and they say this, that they will get to see Hillary Clinton in handcuffs.
Oh, my goodness.
That there will
be
some kind of political perp walk based on your private...
That is not going to happen. There is not even the remotest chance that is going to happen.
Mrs. Clinton went so far as to downplay the investigation.
I think it's a security review. It is a security review. And there are lots of those that are conducted in our government
all the
time.
Can you say liar?
And you don't hear about most of them. You hear about this one because, you know, it does involve me. So that's why it gets so much attention.
Judge Napolitano rebuked Mrs. Clinton, arguing she's sending the wrong signals to the FBI.
It is a perfect storm of legal misery for Mrs. Clinton. What she has done is, for the umpteenth time in public, sent a dog whistle to the FBI, a signal to the FBI. She forgot they were watching. She knows it's a criminal investigation. She knows she's the target of the criminal investigation. She knows the government has an extraordinary amount of resources investigating her, and she's laughing at them. Not a good thing to do.
Do you think Mrs. Clinton will end up in handcuffs? Will she get bit after poking the bear? Share and comment below.
Yeah, that comes from Western Journalism. I don't know. We'll wait and see. I'm not after Clinton because she's a Clinton or a Democrat. I'm after truth and justice. If she broke the law, and we know she did, it's so obvious, it's so painfully obvious, with the unsecured server destroying evidence, obstruction of justice. I mean, you can go on and on and on and on, you know, and she just gets a pass, right? She just gets a pass because there's no rule of law anymore. It depends on who you are. And, you know, if you're a Clinton, you're privileged. It doesn't matter if you broke the law or not. I mean,
no, it doesn't.
So, you know, if there's no rule of law, then why am I paying my taxes? If there's no rule of law,
what difference does it make?
What difference does it make if I pay my taxes, federal, state, local, county? You know, why should I, you know, they're not. Let's go back to the papers. We got to cover that probably next week. The Panama Papers. I guess a bunch of them don't like to pay their taxes. You know, none of them are.
Many world leaders and very influential people have been hiding their personal finances offshore, and the Bank of Panama is coughing up that information. Funny enough, if anybody knows anything about the Bank of Panama, that's an American operation, has been since we went there and took out Noriega and the Narcos Bank. You know, that's the cartel banks back during the cocaine explosion of the 80s. But if anybody remembers that, we went in there and the American government, specifically the CIA, just took over that banking operation and became the black banker in the Western Hemisphere. And now they're giving up the goods. I wonder what that's all about. We could tell you, but not in 2 minutes.
Well, you know, then we find out that, you know, this data dump that was done, you know, we're finding out George Soros is involved in that. Maybe that's who's protecting Hillary. Is it George Soros? Is that what he just buys everybody? The FBI doesn't matter anymore? It doesn't matter if you break the law?
Well, that's what the Clintons do. They just buy or get rid of them, one or the other, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll wait and see what happens. And, I kind of am hoping she does a perp walk.
What's a clinging to the hope?
Clinging. I'm clinging.
Desperately clinging.
Desperately.
Reaching its threads.
Because I'll tell you what. If nothing happens and she doesn't get charged or indicted, this is like Caesar crossing the Rubicon into Rome. Before he was on the other side of the river, it was a republic. When he crossed the river and took over, it was an empire. Because,
well, render under Caesar what is Caesar's.
There you have it. Because at this point in time, if there's no law except for us and the rest of those guys can do whatever they want, then what's the point of having a republic? What's the point? Let's just quit pretending the Constitution is valid. You know, if it's not real and it's a big lie, then let's just get on with it and move into the next stage of the game.
I'm up for that conversation. Is it or isn't it?
Yeah. Is the Constitution valid or not? Is the rule of law valid or not? Is equal protection under the law, you know, the law or not? And if it's not, then let's just get it out there on the table and deal with it. Mm-hmm. But we'll see.
I guess with that, we've come to the end of the program once again.
Well, you're born an original. Don't die a copy. Remember, amateurs built the Ark and professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. You've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties and liberty above security.
And this has been KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State.
KCNR Shasta Redding.
Yay. News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Gordon Griffin. New Orleans police say that a 28-year-old man is being charged with second-degree murder in the shooting death of former Saints player Will Smith. The 34-year-old former defensive end was killed last night in what appeared to be a road rage incident in an upscale part of New Orleans. Smith's wife was shot in the leg. Team owner Tom Benson says the Saints family is devastated. Smith was the Saints' number one draft pick in 2004. He retired after the 2012 season. Donald Trump's convention manager Paul Manafort says that the candidate is optimistic heading into the party's national convention this summer.
I'm confident. We have several ways through June 7th to go over 1237. And, you know, not counted in that at all are any of these unbound delegates who are getting selected, many of whom I feel pretty good about.
Manafort says that the candidate is in the process of changing his campaign style.
Yes, there's a transition. It's a natural transition. Trump was doing very well on a model that made sense, but now as the